I call to order the high-level interactive dialogue on the, of the General Assembly on Water Cooperation, which is being held on World Water Day to mark the International Year of Water Cooperation and the 20th anniversary of the proclamation of World Water Day. This dialogue is held in accordance with General Assembly Resolution 67/204 of December 21, 2012. I would like to warmly welcome all of you to this meeting. Mr. Secretary General, esteemed Prime Minister, respected ministers, excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I would like to wish you a very warm welcome to this high-level interactive dialogue on water cooperation. At the onset of my remarks, allow me to pay special tribute to the Secretary General for his strong leadership on this important issue. I would also like to express my deep appreciation to Prime Minister Okilov and Ministers Bin Fahad Zamora and Belem Ordrago, State Secretary Federico Ramos de Armas, as well as to our invited speakers and participants for their commitment to advancing water cooperation efforts. As we speak, another high-level meeting is taking place in The Hague, commemorating World Water Day. And I understand that in about 45 minutes, a video link will be established with participants in that event who will inform us about its main outcomes. Excellencies, water covers over 70% of the Earth's surface and is vital for all known forms of life on this planet. Fundamental to mankind's very existence, its transcendent value is recognized also in the holy books of the world's great religions. The Bible states that the earth was formed out of water and by water, and the Quran affirms that living things are made of water. The Hindu Samaveda declares, "Hail water, you bring health and bliss, you help us to energy." As we launch the International Year of Water Cooperation, let us be guided by these sacred words, which remind us of the indispensability of this great resource. The slogan for our activities over the past 12 months was chosen in a competition from thousands of submissions from across the globe. "Water, water everywhere, only if we share," was the winning entry. The message from the 23-year-old Megha Kumar of India is simple. The world needs to come together and agree on how to strengthen water cooperation. Fresh water supplies are finite, making up less than 4% of the planet's supply. We need to find ways to apportion it more equitably. Today, however, this precious resource is being put under increasing pressure by rising populations, unsustainable forms of economic development, and climate change. Achieving the broad spectrum of Millennium Development Goals, including most importantly alleviating poverty, is impossible without clean water and proper sanitation. This should be one of our most urgent priorities, for the 2015 deadline is fast approaching. We hear predictions that a number of countries will not achieve the prescribed targets. I believe, however, that by redoubling our efforts, they can still largely be met. I therefore attach great importance to the preparations for the special event to follow up on efforts towards achieving the Millennium Development Goals, which will be held on September 25 during the high-level segment of the general debate of the 68th session. It will be the final occasion for world leaders to decide on actions to be taken to complete the MDG process, and for them to provide guidance to the Secretariat and other stakeholders on the priorities they will need to focus on in the period before us. The special event will also provide member states with a unique opportunity to set a framework for a smooth transition from the MDGs to the SDGs. I believe its outcome should be as substantive as possible, feeding into the deliberations of the various work streams tasked with conceptualizing the entire post-2015 Sustainable Development Agenda. The Rio Plus 20 concluding document tasked the General Assembly of the United Nations with adopting the SDGs. The open working group established to propose them to the plenary by the third quarter of 2014 has recently begun its deliberations. I believe that coherently addressing all three dimensions of water-related matters, namely economic, social, and environmental, should be one of the group's foremost priorities. As the document itself states, water is at the core of sustainable development as it is closely linked to a number of key global challenges. The plenary of the General Assembly has been mandated to oversee two other critical elements of the post-2015 agenda: the intergovernmental process to propose options for an effective sustainable development financing strategy, and a high-level political forum to follow up on the implementation of sustainable development. I expect that the facilitators I have appointed to help advance these two processes will place many of the topics we have come to discuss here today high on their respective agendas. In a few days, I will also attend the fourth meeting of the Secretary General's 27-member high-level panel of eminent persons, which will take place in Indonesia. There, I will also stress the need to promote the sustainable management of water. In the weeks and months to come, the General Assembly will play host to a number of thematic debates, one of which is directly related to the issues we have gathered to talk about here and today. I've chosen May 16 as the date for addressing the topic of sustainable development and climate change, practical solutions in the energy-water nexus. It is being organized in collaboration with the United Arab Emirates and the newly established UN Sustainable Development Solution Networks, spearheaded by the director of its secretariat, Professor Jeffrey Sachs of Columbia University. Climate change, growing populations, increasing consumption needs are putting increasing stress on water supplies and energy production, which are therefore becoming more interrelated. In the time ahead, this nexus will need to be managed in a more sustainable way, urgently requiring practical and cost-effective solutions, which this thematic debate will seek to promote. I take this opportunity to invite member states, like you're here today, to participate also at the highest possible level in the thematic debate on the climate change. This would not only support efforts to promote International Year of Water Cooperation, but could also help provide important inputs to the various post-2015 work streams that, in my opinion, must ultimately converge into a single, fully cohesive, sustainable development framework for the 21st century. Excellencies, the challenge of securing safe and plentiful water for all is one of the most daunting challenges faced by the world today. Those are the words of the Secretary General, spoken at the World Economic Forum in Davos 5 years ago. More than ever before, water stands at a complex and interdependent stand, at the center of a complex and interdependent set of challenges, which will stretch the imagination, resourcefulness, and fortitude of member states of the United Nations, and for the system of the United Nations itself for decades to come. Today's high-level dialogue, I believe, should identify specific areas of enhanced collaboration, as well as the appropriate mechanisms for follow-up action. This will undoubtedly involve the General Assembly, and I want you to know that you can count fully on my support. I wish you a productive and successful discussion. I thank you for your attention. And now it is my honor to give the floor to the Secretary General of the United Nations.
Thank you, Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, for convening this very important thematic high-level debate on water on the occasion of World Water Day. Your Excellency, Mr. Okil Akilov, Prime Minister of Tajikistan, and honorable ministers participating in these meetings, Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to join you in making the opening of the International Year of Water Cooperation 2013 and the 20th anniversary of the proclamation of World Water Day. Your discussion will provide an important contribution to coming events such as the High-Level International Conference on Water Cooperation in Dushanbe, Tajikistan, in August, and the Budapest Water Summit in Hungary in October. And it will help our deliberations on the post-2015 development agenda and the Sustainable Development Goals, where water issues will be critical. Water is life. It is central to the well-being of people and the planet. It holds the key to sustainable development. We need fresh water for health, food security, and economic progress. Yet each year brings new pressures. One in three people already lives in a country with moderate to high water stress. By 2030, nearly half the global population could be facing water scarcity, with the demand outstripping supply by 40%. Competition is growing among farmers and herders, industry and agriculture, town and country, upstream and downstream, and across borders. Climate change and the needs of populations that are growing in size and prosperity mean we must work together to protect and manage this fragile and finite resource. The United Nations system, through UN Water and its 30 UN members and 25 international partners, is fostering cooperation from the global level to the grassroots. For example, the UNDP's Shared Waters Partnership is supporting political agreement on shared waters, such as in the Nile Basin. UNESCO is supporting the equitable management of transboundary water resources to avoid conflict. And the UN Economic Commission for Europe's Convention on the Protection and Use of Transboundary Water Courses and International Lakes will soon be available to all UN member states. I urge countries outside the UNECE region to join the convention and further develop it. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, one area where we need cooperation and innovation is agriculture. Agriculture is by far the largest user of fresh water, and there is a growing urgency to reconcile its demands with the needs of domestic and industrial uses, especially energy production. Climate change also presents a growing threat to productivity and food security. My Zero Hunger Challenge promotes sustainable agriculture by sharing best practices and harnessing the most appropriate technologies so small farmers and industrial giants alike can get more crop per drop. Let me now turn to another water-related topic. No discussion of water can pass without mentioning sanitation. While Millennium Development Goal target for providing improved sources of fresh water has been reached, we are awfully short on sanitation. Some 2.5 billion people lack access to the dignity and health afforded by access to a toilet and protection from untreated waste. We count the cost in lives, 4,500 young children a day, and economic productivity. Yet we know that every dollar spent on sanitation can bring a fivefold return. That is why the Deputy Secretary General launched yesterday a global call to action. Investment in sanitation is a down payment on a sustainable future. Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, there are little more than 1,000 days left before the MDG deadline. But with renewed effort, we can finish the job started at the beginning of the millennium. But 2015 is not the finishing line, merely a milestone in a long and challenging journey. As we develop the post-2015 development agenda, our aim is to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger and to create an equitable world of opportunity for all. To do that, we need to give equal consideration to the environment dimension of sustainable development. We cannot prosper without clean, plentiful, fresh water. On this World Water Day, I appeal for heightened cooperation. Water is a common resource. Let us use it more intelligently and waste less so all get a fair share. I wish you a fruitful discussion. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary General. And this morning, I have the pleasure on behalf of the General Assembly of the United Nations to extend a very warm welcome to His Excellency Okhil Gaybulloevich Akilov, Prime Minister of the Republic of Tajikistan, and to invite him to give his statement.
Уважаемый господин председатель, уважаемый господин генеральный секретарь, дамы и господа. Прежде всего, от имени правительства Республики Таджикистан хотел бы поблагодарить председателя Генеральной Ассамблеи ООН господина Вука Еремича за созыв сегодняшнего диалога высокого уровня Генеральной Ассамблеи ООН, который посвящается тематике Международного года водного сотрудничества. Данный диалог приуроченный к празднованию 20-летия Всемирного дня воды, является одним из трех мероприятий, одобренных Генеральной Ассамблеей ООН в рамках резолюции 67/204 проведения Международного года водного сотрудничества 2013. Инициированный Республикой Таджикистан совместно с 46 соавторами странами членами ООН. Принятие этой резолюции консенсусом еще раз продемонстрировало, насколько эта проблема актуальна сегодня во всем мире и насколько важна роль сотрудничества и партнерства в решении наших ежедневных задач, связанных с водой. Главнейшей из этих задач является обеспечение питьевой водой. Все еще остается высокая доля людей, не имеющих доступа к безопасной питьевой воде. Мы на своем опыте знаем, что обеспечение населения безопасной питьевой водой – дорогостоящее мероприятие. Для того, чтобы решить эту задачу, во всех странах мира требуются значительные инвестиции, мировой объем которых, возможно, составит сотни миллиардов долларов США. Мы уверены, что решение этого вопроса должно оставаться в повестке дня в числе основных водных вопросов в целях устойчивого развития. Мы убеждены в том, что Международный год водного сотрудничества, как это зафиксировано в тексте соответствующей резолюции Генеральной Ассамблеи ООН, может содействовать действиям, нацеленным на достижение согласованных на международном уровне целей в области водоснабжения, содержащейся в повестке дня на 21 век, а также обеспечит более глубокое осознание их важности. Другой нашей задачей на сегодняшний день в области водных ресурсов является их рациональное использование и интегрированное управление для удовлетворения всех наших нужд. Отрадно, что в последние годы многие страны мира стали обращать больше внимания на эти подходы. Однако во многих случаях национальные планы интегрированного управления водными ресурсами не скоординированы с соседними странами по региону и с другими региональными стратегиями, в связи с чем эти планы оставались малоэффективными. На фоне растущего потребления населения мира, продуктов питания, энергетики, ухудшения санитарии и глобального изменения климата, именно нексусные подходы – вода, продовольствие, энергетика, климат – становятся более актуальными и практичными. Для осуществления этих концепций требуется развивать сотрудничество и партнерство не только между странами, но и между различными секторами экономики и водопользователями. В этом вопросе наш регион, который целиком относится к бассейну Аральского моря, является печальным примером. Национальное использование водных ресурсов региона привело не только к деградации Аральского моря, но и впоследствии к ухудшению социально-экономической и экологической обстановки в регионе. Наличие конкурирующих видов водопользования и различия в сезонном потреблении водных и энергетических ресурсов, их несбалансированное распределение создают конфликт интересов не только в экономике, но и между природой, обществом и хозяйственной деятельностью. Также тревожным еще остается то, что такая обстановка на фоне глобального изменения климата влияет на состояние снежно-ледниковых ресурсов региона. В связи с этим за последние 35-40 лет на территории нашей страны более 35% ледников деградировали. А как вы знаете, Таджикистан является одной из основных стран зоной формирования стока рек региона, и на его территории формируется около 60% водных ресурсов. Дальнейшая деградация водных источников нас очень беспокоит. Резкий рост населения региона, рост водопотребления и сокращение источников водных ресурсов требует, чтобы страны региона к использованию водных ресурсов подходили более разумно, корректируя свои планы, в частности в сельском хозяйстве, с учетом сохранения водных источников для будущего поколения и обеспечения устойчивого развития стран региона. Что касается позиции Таджикистана, то она была неоднократно озвучена нашим президентом с трибуны Генеральной Ассамблеи ООН и других международных мероприятий и свидетельствует о том, что Таджикистан никогда не создавал и не будет создавать каких-либо водных проблем для соседних государств. Однако при этом Таджикистан с учетом всех потребностей региона и окружающей среды будет реализовывать свои гидроэнергетические проекты в целях обеспечения электричеством населения и экономики страны. Это реальная и насущная необходимость для обеспечения устойчивого развития страны и жизнедеятельности ее населения. Несмотря на изобилие водных ресурсов в нашей стране, часть нашего населения испытывает трудности из-за отсутствия системы водоснабжения и доступа к безопасной питьевой воде. Для решения проблем, связанных с водными ресурсами, за последние 5 лет правительством Таджикистана были приняты более 15 программ, стратегий и планов действий, в рамках которых уже реализованы и реализовываются десятки проектов. По данным ЮНЕП, в 2025 году водопользование в развивающих странах повысится на 50% от сегодняшнего уровня, а в развитых странах на 18%. 1,8 миллиардов человек будут жить в странах-регионах с абсолютным недостатком воды, и 2/3 населения мира будут находиться под стрессом, связанным с водой. Как известно, около 90% всех стихийных бедствий в мире связано с водой. И, к сожалению, их частота и интенсивность из года в год растут. Последние годы для Таджикистана такие бедствия стали проявляться все чаще и нарастающей интенсивностью. Они наносят огромный ущерб экономике страны, зачастую сопровождаются большими человеческими потерями. Тысячи людей получают увечья и остаются без крова. Эти и другие данные международных организаций еще раз подтверждают серьезность, неотложность и актуальность водных вопросов для мирового сообщества. Вода должна стать объединяющим фактором, а не разделяющим. У нашего народа есть мудрость, согласно которой дать воду нуждающимся считается самым добрым, богоугодным поступком. И этот подход лежит в основе нашего сотрудничества по водным вопросам. Осуществление Международного года водного сотрудничества даст нам возможность еще раз собраться вокруг этого вопроса с более серьезными намерениями и принять судьбоносные, я бы так бы сказал, решения для будущего поколения по водным вопросам путем развития водной дипломатии. В этой связи я уверен, что сегодняшние мероприятия в Нью-Йорке и Гааге рассмотрят важнейшие аспекты водного сотрудничества в странах и регионах мира. Мы были бы рады, если эти дискуссии были бы продолжены в странах и регионах в рамках других национальных, региональных и международных мероприятий Международного года. Как известно, очередным мероприятием года станет международная конференция высокого уровня по водному сотрудничеству, которая состоится с 20 по 22 августа текущего года в городе Душанбе. Таджикистан прилагает всяческие усилия, чтобы данная конференция прошла на высоком организационном и содержательном уровне в духе взаимопонимания, укрепления сотрудничества и партнерства. Я уверяю вас, что ваши предложения и идеи по продуктивной организации программы работы конференции будут учтены в процессе ее подготовки. Мы надеемся, что участники Душанбинской конференции будут всесторонне обсуждать текущие проблемы водного сектора и разработают новые подходы и стратегии по всестороннему укреплению водного сотрудничества и диалога для достижения международного согласованных путей по воде, в том числе и разработки целей устойчивого развития по воде. Пользуясь случаем, как председатель Организационного комитета Душанбинской конференции, приглашаю вас принять активное участие в конференции в городе Душанбе с 20 по 22 августа. Желаю вам плодотворной работы. Спасибо за внимание.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister. And now, due to time restrictions and in order to harmonize the schedules of the two events, the one that we are having here and the other one in The Hague, I propose that we now join the official World Water Day celebrations in The Hague. And I understand the following members of the high-level forum are joining us today via video link. This is Irina Bokova, Director General of the UNESCO and co-chair of the high-level forum. I hope that Irina is there. Then Mr. Michel Jarreau, Chair of UN Water and Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization and co-chair of the high-level forum. Yes? I see him. Her Excellency Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, President of the Republic of Liberia and co-chair of the Secretary General's High-Level Panel. of the post-2015 development agenda. His Royal Highness Prince Willem-Alexander, Prince of Orange, Chairman of the United Nations Secretary General's Advisory Board on Water and Sanitation.
May I request everybody to kindly take their seats, please?
Yeah.
Take your seats, everybody. Thank you very much. We will now try the live video link with New York with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon.
Let's really support them there in The Hague. That's why I stopped. So I'll repeat His Royal Highness Prince Willem-Alexander, Prince of Orange. He's a very important person in this event, especially there in The Hague, Chairman of the Secretary General's Advisory Board on Water and Sanitation. But I also want to acknowledge His Royal Highness Prince Al-Hassan bin Talal of Jordan and Mr. Francesco Pereira, Vice Minister of Public Works of Mozambique, Mr. Paul Palman, Chief Executive Officer, Unilever, and also a member of the Secretary General's High-Level Panel on the Post-2015 Development Agenda, and Mrs. Betty Maina, Chief Executive Officer of the Kenyan Association of Manufacturers. Now, I truly hope that we are linked up with The Hague. Your Royal Highness, you're nodding. Thank you very much for confirming this. Warm greetings from New York, and it gives me now a particular pleasure to give the floor to the Director General of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization and co-chair of the High-Level Forum, Mrs. Irina Bokova.
Thank you very much, Mr. Remic, President of the General Assembly. Mr. Secretary General, I'm very honored to present very briefly the discussion that this very interesting and highly, I would say, placed high panel did this afternoon. We had a passionate debate about water cooperation, about achieving the current Millennium Development Goals. We discussed also the necessity to put very firmly water and sanitation in the next set of development goals, which is going into the process. Let me here commend the Undersecretary General, Mr. Ian Ellison, for his call on action on sanitation that we did mention also. We spoke about the importance of partnerships, and we are very proud and happy to have here with us representatives of the private sector, because we did come to the conclusion that private sector has the innovation, private sector has the capacity to intervene, to cooperate with governments. We did discuss also, touch the links between water, sanitation, poverty reduction, and the other Millennium Development Goals, such as gender. We spoke a lot about the nexus between water cooperation, between energy and food security. And finally, we did discuss also the necessity of capacity building. We, I believe, came to the conclusion that capacity building in many countries is extremely important if we want to tackle the problems of water. Of course, the underlying understanding of all of us is that it is a very complex issue. It has to be looked at its complexity. It's not only technology. It's not only science. It is also about peace, about conflict. It is about water cooperation, because more than 80% of the people in this world live in transboundary water resources. They have to share these resources. And we came to the conclusion that it is not anymore business as usual, and that water cooperation is not a choice, but it is an imperative. I hope I have summarized all the passionate, Prince Talal, Your Highness, you will allow me to say, angry even, debates at some points that we had, but we really believe that for such a good cause, we are allowed to be a little bit angry. Thank you.
Thank you. I thank the director of UNESCO, and now I will give the floor to the co-chair of the UN Water, the co-chair of the high-level forum, Mr. Michel Jarro, who will present the messages of the Global Thematic Consultation on Water.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Mr. President of the General Assembly, Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, ladies, gentlemen, indeed, this meeting was the culmination of a very, very broad and thorough consultation. And this consultation involved not only the UN system working really as one on that issue, but it also involved everyone who wanted to contribute through new social media. And we were very actually proud that it generated enormous level of contribution and attention. And to find a consensus was actually, despite the passion, was not so difficult, because clearly it reflected the fact that all countries realize, all stakeholders, all participants who contributed realize that water is indeed at the core of sustainable development, and it is an issue that we cannot, we should not, we are not allowed to ignore. So all stakeholders from around the world were encouraged to take stock of the lessons learned, of the implementation of the Millennium Development Goals, and there's no doubt that MDG is unfinished business, and we have to strengthen all efforts to make sure that there is as much progress as possible in the years ahead of us. At the same time, we have to look beyond that, and the question of sustainable development and the role of water in sustainable development is central to a sustainable development. And the nexus with energy, with food security, with health, with so many key issues will be an essential element. So we are extremely grateful to all those who participate, governments, but also individuals, all sectors of society. So the message coming from that were summarized by Irina Bokova, so I don't want to repeat what she said. I think you made a wonderful summary. And the only thing we want to do now is to ensure you that we shall bring this message to all the relevant forum where the future step will be discussed. Mr. Secretary General, you have in place a high-level panel. There is many things, and we want to make sure that these messages are taken on board. And now, talking to the member states, you have the commitment of all the UN system organizations, program involving UN water. We are all committed to serve you and to make sure that the outcome is the best possible one in the context of the post-2015. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Inde Haig. And now I understand that we are going to proceed with our business here in New York. I wish you well and a very fruitful continuation of your discussion. All the best and warm greetings from New York. We are now going to proceed with our work here in the room. And it now gives me an exceptional honor and pleasure to give the floor to His Excellency Rashid Ahmed bin Fahad, Minister of Environment and Water of the United Arab Emirates.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. السيد الرئيس أصحاب المعالي سعادة السفير العام السيدات والسادة الرؤساء وأعضاء الوفود إنه لمن دواعي سروري المشاركة في هذه الجلسة الحوارية التي تعقد اليوم ضمن فعاليات السنة الدولية للتعاون في مجال المياه وبالتزامن مع اليوم العالمي للمياه الذي انطلق قبل 20 عاما للتوعية بأهمية المحافظة على موارد المياه العذبة ودورها في تحقيق ما يصب إليه المجتمع الدولي من أهداف تنموية السيد الرئيس وبالرغم من التحسن الملحوظ الذي تحقق في السنوات الماضية في العديد من المناطق خاصة فيما يتعلق ببلوغ الأهداف التنموية للألفية ذات الصلة بمياه الشرب المأمونة فلا زالت هناك العديد من الهواجس المثيرة للقلق والتي تتمثل في أنه تم الوصول بالفعل إلى حدود الاستدامة أو تجاوزها في العديد من أقاليم العالم وفقاً لتقرير توقعات البيئة العالمية الخامس ولا تزال الضغوط والتحديات التي تواجهها الموارد المائية ك كالتزايد السكاني وارتفاع مستويات النمو وتغير المناخ وتغير أنماط الاستهلاك تتصاعد بوتيرة أسرع من قدرتنا على الحركة وعلى إيجاد وتطبيق الحلول المناسبة لمواجهتها والحد من تأثيراتها السلبية سواء على المستوى الوطني أو الإقليمي أو الدولي. السيد الرئيس، السيدات والسادة، تقع دولة الإمارات العربية المتحدة في المنطقة القاحلة التي تتميز بقلة معدلات سقوط الأمطار وبانعدام المجاري المائية الدائمة فيها، وعليه فقد تحمل مخزون المياه الجوفي عبء توفير المتطلبات المتزايدة لكافة الأغراض، خاصة في ظل النهضة التنموية غير المسبوقة التي شهدتها بلادي في العقود الأربعة الماضية، والتي ترافقت مع زيادة كبيرة في عدد السكان وفي عدد الوحدات السكنية والاقتصادية وفي مساحات المناطق المزروعة، بحيث لم يعد هذا المخزون قادراً على تلبية الحد الأدنى من احتياجاتنا. وفي مواجهة تلك ذلك اتبعت حكومة بلادي نهجاً متكاملاً يقوم على مراعاة وإدارة العلاقات المتداخلة والمتبادلة بين قضايا المياه والقضايا التنموية والاجتماعية الأخرى كالزراعة والأمن الغذائي والتنوع البيولوجي وتغير المناخ والطاقة والصحة وأنماط الاستهلاك وفق مبادئ الإدارة المتكاملة للموارد المائية. ويتركز هذا النهج على ثلاثة ركائز أساسية، أولها تبني خيار تحلية مياه البحر لسد العجز الواضح في ميزان العرض والطلب وتخفيف الضغط على مخزون المياه الجوفي واستدامته، إلى جانب تعظيم الاستفادة من المياه العادمة المعالجة في بعض الأغراض الزراعية والصناعية، مع أهمية الإشارة هنا إلى تبني بلادي لخيار الطاقة المتجددة والطاقة النووية للأغراض السلمية في إنتاج مياه التحلية ومعالجة المياه العادمة لتقليل انبعاثات غازات الاحتباس الحراري. ويتمثل ثاني هذه الركائز في تعزيز كفاءة استخدام المياه عن طريق استخدام التقنيات الحديثة في الري، والتي تغطي الآن حوالي 95% من المناطق المزروعة، وتبني سياسة زراعية تستهدف تحقيق أقصى قدر من التوازن بين الأمنين المائي والغذائي، وإدماج قضايا تعزيز كفاءة المياه في كافة السياسات والاستراتيجيات التنموية كالاقتصاد الأخضر والعمارة الخضراء والبصمة البيئية. أما الركيزة الثالثة، الحضور الكرام، فتتمثل في ترشيد استهلاك المياه والتصدي لأنماط الاستهلاك غير المستدام لموارد المياه، وذلك عن طريق إدماج الدمج بين الآليات الاقتصادية واستخدام التقنيات الحديثة المرشدة للاستهلاك والتوعية بأهمية المحافظة على الموارد المائية وحمايتها من التلوث. هذا على الصعيد الوطني سيد الرئيس. أما على الصعيد الدولي، فإن بلادي وانسجاما مع سياستها القائمة على المشاركة الفاعلة في الجهود الدولية الرامية إلى معالجة والمساهمة في معالجة المشكلات العالمية، فقد استضافت في شهر يناير الماضي الدورة الأولى للقمة العالمية للمياه ضمن أسبوع أبوظبي للاستدامة، التي جمعت نخبة مهمة من القادة والخبراء وواضع السياسات لمناقشة القضايا ذات الصلة باستدامة الموارد المائية في المناطق القاحلة. وبالنظر إلى النمو المتوقع لصناعة التحلية في منطقة الخليج العربي التي تستحوذ في الوقت الحالي على أكثر من 50% من الصناعة في العالم وارتفاع كلفتها، فقد أعلنت بلادي خلال تلك القمة عن عزمها على دخول مسار استكشافي هام يرتكز على تطوير تقنيات متقدمة ومستدامة وذات كفاءة عالية في استهلاك الطاقة لتحلية المياه، تضمن تلبية الطلب المستقبلي وتوفر في الوقت نفسه مزايا اقتصادية واجتماعية وبيئية، وتتمثل الأهداف بعيدة المدى لهذا المسار في إنشاء محطات لتحلية المياه باستخدام الطاقة المتجددة في الإمارات على نطاق تجاري بحلول عام 2020. ولا شك أن ربط تقنيات تحلية المياه بالطاقة المتجددة سيتيح لنا الاستفادة من مواردنا الوفيرة من الطاقة الشمسية واعتمادها كعنصر أساسي في حزمة الحلول لضمان الأمن المائي. وتعزيزاً لجهودها في هذا السياق، فإن بلادي تسعى إلى استضافة المنتدى العالمي للمياه عام 2018 والمؤتمر العالمي لتحلية المياه في عام 2015. السيد الرئيس، السيدات والسادة، إن معظم البلدان التي تعاني من حالة انعدام الأمن المائي هي بلدان نامية تعاني من نقص في الإمكانيات المادية والتقنية والبشرية القادرة على التعامل مع القضايا ذات الصلة بالأمن المائي وإدارة العلاقات المتداخلة بين قطاع المياه والقطاعات التنموية الأخرى. ومن هنا فإننا ندرك أن التعاون الدولي من أجل المياه لم يعد خياراً بل أصبح أمراً حتمياً وعاجلاً، وأن التباطؤ في تعزيز هذا التعاون يمثل مجازفة بإضافة ملايين أخرى من البشر إلى ملايين إلى مئات الملايين التي لا تمتلك. ونحن نعتقد ونحن في العقد الثاني من القرن 21 فرصة للوصول إلى موارد مأمونة وكافية وخدمات صرف صحي مناسبة. ولهذا سيد الرئيس فإن حكومة بلادي وهي تشيد بالجهود التي تبذلها الأمم المتحدة ووكالاتها المتخصصة وتؤكد التزامها بالدعم والمشاركة في كافة الجهود الدولية ذات الصلة تدعو إلى ضرورة التحرك بسرعة وتحت مظلة الأمم المتحدة نحو حشد جهود المجتمع الدولي وتعبية الموارد المالية اللازمة ونقل التكنولوجيا وبناء القدرات في الدول النامية لضمان توفير مياه شرب مأمونة ونقية وخدمات صرف صحي يسهل الوصول حصول عليها بكلفة معقولة. وفي الختام وفي هذا الصدد فإن بلادي سيد الرئيس تقترح أن يتم الاهتمام بشكل خاص في المرحلة المقبلة بالقضايا التالية: أولاً استدامة صناعة تحلية المياه التي تنمو بصورة مضطردة في العديد من مناطق العالم لمواجهة التناقص المستمر في كمية المياه العذبة المتاحة نتيجة للضغوط والتحديات المتزايدة، وزيادة مساهمة صناعة التحلية في تحقيق أهداف التنمية المستدامة لما بعد عام 2015، وذلك بالتركيز على تطوير تقنيات التحلية واستخدام الطاقات المتجددة والبديلة والإدارة السليمة للمياه المرتجعة من محطات التحلية. ثانياً أهمية التركيز على الأولويات والاستراتيجيات العالمية حول آليات الترابط الوثيقة والآثار المتبادلة بين قضايا الأمن المائي والأمن الغذائي وتنويع مصادر الطاقة كضرورة حيوية وأولوية استراتيجية عالمية. وبهذا الخصوص فإنه يسرني الترحيب بكم في الاجتماع عالي المستوى الذي تستضيف بلادي بشأن مناقشة مواضيعية في إطار شراكة مع رئيس الجمعية العامة حول موضوع المياه والطاقة والمناخ، وذلك في شهر مايو القادم من هذا العام في عاصمتنا أبوظبي. وفي الختام متمنيا سيد الرئيس والحضور الكرام لكم التوفيق، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you very much, Mr. Minister. And now I will give the floor to His Excellency Jose Zamora, Minister of Environment and Water of Bolivia.
Muchísimas gracias, señor presidente. Señor presidente, señor secretario general, señor primer ministro de la República de Tajikistán, ministros, ministras, autoridades presentes, señoras, señores delegados presentes, hago llegar a todos ustedes un saludo revolucionario del pueblo y del presidente del Estado Plurinacional de Bolivia, el hermano Evo Morales Ayma. Permítanme inicialmente felicitar esta iniciativa que ha surgido de la Asamblea General para convocar a este diálogo interactivo de alto nivel en el marco de las Naciones Unidas. Hoy recordamos el Día Internacional de la Cooperación por el Agua y el 20 aniversario del Día Mundial del Agua. Llevamos 20 años celebrando este día para recordar que el agua es un preciado don de la Madre Tierra para beneficio de la humanidad y de la naturaleza. Los seres humanos tenemos derecho al agua segura, sana y saludable, de la misma forma que lo tiene la naturaleza. De este modo, el 28 de julio del año 2010, hemos dado un paso trascendental en el marco de la Resolución 64/292 de la Asamblea General de las Naciones Unidas, donde se reconoció el derecho humano al agua y al saneamiento, reafirmando que un agua potable limpia y el saneamiento son esenciales para la realización de todos los derechos humanos. Además, esta resolución exhorta a los estados y organizaciones internacionales a proporcionar recursos financieros destinados a propiciar la capacitación y la transferencia de tecnología para ayudar a los países, en particularmente los países en vías de desarrollo, a proporcionar un suministro de agua potable y saneamiento saludable, limpio, accesible y asequible para todos. Hoy, la realidad del acceso al agua y al saneamiento en el mundo es dramática. 884 millones de personas no tienen acceso al agua potable y 2.600 millones de personas no tienen acceso al saneamiento básico. Estos números nos muestran una realidad tenebrosa que debemos transformar. Bolivia tiene una constitución nueva que ha surgido de un proceso revolucionario que llamamos proceso de cambio. La constitución de nuestro Estado plurinacional define varios derechos humanos, de ellos llamados fundamentales, pero un derecho en particular, el único así definido en la Constitución, es el derecho fundamentalísimo del agua para la vida, es decir, el derecho de la Madre Tierra y de los seres humanos para gozar de este elemento sustancial para la reproducción de la vida. Sobre la base de esta nueva Constitución y el reconocimiento de este derecho, nuestro proceso de cambio ha incrementado las coberturas de agua potable en más de 1 millón de personas en los últimos 6 años, y estamos haciendo inversiones vigorosas para garantizar la suficiente dotación de agua para consumo humano y riego en un escenario complicado de cambio climático como el que ya vivimos y que se agravará en los próximos años. El año 2012, en Bolivia, ya hemos llegado a una cobertura de agua potable del 79% y en saneamiento del 50%. Es decir, el año 2012 hemos alcanzado con la meta del milenio en lo que respecta al agua potable. Sin embargo, nos falta muchísimo por hacer en el tema de saneamiento. En este aspecto es importante mencionar que nuestro presidente y nuestro gobierno de proceso de cambio ha definido internamente unas metas para el año 2025, en donde nosotros debemos erradicar la extrema pobreza, tenemos que dar cobertura en 100% en todo lo que significa los servicios básicos para la población de nuestro país. El esfuerzo de Bolivia es importante, pero no es suficiente. Pese a los esfuerzos que hagamos como país, solos no vamos a poder lograr implementar plenamente ese derecho de la población humana al agua. En Bolivia hemos aprendido que están en nuestras manos muchas acciones para poder avanzar en el logro de este derecho, pero existen también aspectos muy importantes que dependen de los compromisos y de la cooperación de todos los países del mundo. La normativa internacional ha avanzado a paso seguro en la consolidación del derecho al agua, pero aún falta que esos pasos se consoliden en las legislaciones y las políticas públicas de muchos estados en el mundo. Hace poco, menos de un año, hemos acordado, todos los países aquí presentes, ratificar el derecho humano al agua en el párrafo 121 del documento titulado El futuro que queremos, resultante de la Conferencia de Desarrollo Sostenible de Naciones Unidas celebrada en Río de Janeiro en junio del 2012. ¿Cómo cumplir ese derecho? Esta es una pregunta importante y a la cual entre todos debemos dar respuesta. Algunos de los temas centrales cuando hablamos del derecho al agua se resumen en los conceptos de control y gestión de los recursos hídricos. Para que el agua sea de beneficio público, debemos promover el control estatal y social, promoviendo la más amplia participación y reconocimiento de la gestión social, así como la participación social en la toma de decisiones, transparentando la administración de las entidades encargadas de los servicios del agua y fortaleciendo los procesos locales, así como los sistemas sociales de gestión de la cuenca, de los recursos hídricos, de los servicios de agua y saneamiento, de la gestión productiva del agua para fines agrícolas y pecuarios, con la más diversa y plural participación de los actores. Es importante fortalecer la normatividad e institucionalidad local en la gestión de los recursos hídricos, así como el sistema de autoridades y los arreglos institucionales locales. Sin la participación local, no podremos asegurar la sostenibilidad en la gestión del agua. En Bolivia, se han reconocido como pilares sociales fundamentales en la gestión del agua a los usos y costumbres, a las normas de las comunidades indígenas y campesinas, de actores agropecuarios, de productores, de las organizaciones de regantes, de las cooperativas y comités locales que gestionan el servicio de agua potable de las empresas públicas, en fin. El control y la gestión del agua son fundamentales, pero deben hacerse reconociendo las capacidades y potenciales sociales. La cultura del agua está sin duda asociada a este tema. Las comunidades y las organizaciones sociales, en el marco de las normas, prácticas, instituciones, usos y costumbres, gestionan el agua y lo hacen creando una cultura de gestión, pero también de apoyo mutuo y de complementariedad entre comunidades y poblaciones ubicadas aguas arriba y las ubicadas aguas abajo. Debemos promover la solidaridad en la gestión de agua. En Bolivia, las culturas del agua son expresión de vida de los pueblos indígenas, de las comunidades campesinas y de las organizaciones vecinales. Hay una fuerte tradición comunitaria en nuestras cuencas y dinámicas de apoyo y control mutuo para gestionar el agua y para resolver conflictos. Este potencial y fortaleza social en la cultura del agua solo florece y se desarrolla con la vitalidad del pueblo, de la sociedad, no con la fuerza del capital y del mercado. Si el agua termina bajo el control de operadores o empresas privadas, se le habrá arrancado del control y la participación social, se le habrá quitado su importancia cultural, humana y social para priorizar la ganancia, el beneficio y el lucro particular. Debemos humanizar y ambientalizar el agua, no privatizar el agua. El agua es un bien para el ser humano y el medio ambiente, de manera conjunta y complementaria. El agua no puede ser concebida como un bien económico para el beneficio privado. Todas las experiencias de privatización del agua, ya sea mediante concesiones, títulos o derechos privados sobre fuentes de agua, mercados de agua, mediante la privatización de las empresas de servicios de agua, han fracasado en su intención de promover el desarrollo sostenible igualitario y la erradicación del hambre y la pobreza. No hay compatibilidad alguna entre privatización, mercantilización del agua y la construcción de una sociedad sin exclusión y pobreza. Si hay algo que marca la pobreza y la desigualdad social y económica, es precisamente el agua y el control de las fuentes de agua. Allí, donde los privados y el capitalismo reinan sobre el agua tiene precio y la gente es demandante, cliente y comprador, pero nunca será actor protagónico de la gestión del agua. Los mercados de agua y los derechos privados o títulos privados de agua dividen a las comunidades, a las poblaciones, a los productores. Destruyen la complementariedad, la solidaridad. Toda forma de exclusión por la vigencia de sistemas privados y de ganancia mercantil se expresa de manera dramática en el agua, más que en ningún otro servicio o recurso natural. Allí donde la ganancia y el capital reinan, donde la inversión privada vale más que las personas, la gente está condenada a la exclusión y a la pobreza. El rol del Estado debe ser justamente garantizar el acceso equitativo al agua con justicia social y ambiental, porque del agua depende la vida. En Bolivia, así como en muchos países del mundo en desarrollo, se intentaron privatizar los servicios de agua potable y alcantarillado sanitario, y también se intentó imponer un modelo privatizador y mercantilista del agua aplicando las recetas de los organismos financieros mundiales. Ahí, lamentablemente, el Banco Mundial y el Fondo Monetario Internacional, así como otros bancos regionales, jugaron un rol nefasto promoviendo la pobreza y la exclusión en aquella época en que los intelectuales de la privatización y el mercado profesaban victoriosos que la aplicación de un modelo privatizador y de mercado resolvería la pobreza y que el mercado era capaz de distribuir los recursos y los servicios en las llamadas economías de escala. Aquellos pregoneros del bienestar, del mercado y del capital, muchos de ellos funcionarios de organismos financieros internacionales, terminaron promoviendo que gobiernos y políticos títeres entregaran nuestras aguas y nuestros servicios de agua a la voraz ansiedad de las empresas transnacionales. Incluso se movilizaron créditos blandos para facilitar el acceso a nuestras aguas por parte de estas empresas. Así fue como llegaron las transnacionales Bechtel y Suez Lyonnais de Sox a Bolivia y generaron los conflictos sociales más cruentos que hemos tenido en nuestra historia. Y aquellos gobiernos comprometidos con la privatización del agua reprimieron, hirieron y mataron para defender el capital privado. Por eso advertimos desde este foro de Naciones Unidas que no permitiremos que estos experimentos diseñados en los laboratorios de políticas públicas de los organismos internacionales se impongan en nuestros países. y advertimos que no se intente promoverlos hábilmente mimetizados en los llamados tratados de libre comercio, que también incluyen la protección y la liberación de capitales transnacionales a través de los títulos asociados a dichas inversiones. Estos modelos han fracasado y nuestros pueblos no deben permitir que el agua termine en pocas manos para hacer ricos a los ricos. El agua no es un negocio, el agua es un derecho. Hoy, nuestro proceso de cambio ha depositado en las manos de nuestro pueblo la decisión de decidir sobre nuestras aguas y nuestro pueblo ha establecido en nuestra nueva Constitución que el agua es un derecho humano y que se establece el derecho fundamentalísimo del agua para la vida, incluyendo, por supuesto, el medio ambiente y la naturaleza. Hermanos y hermanas del mundo, hemos querido relatarles nuestra propia experiencia para poner a su consideración una profunda reflexión. La historia de la privatización del agua no puede repetirse, que no vengan ahora a vender estos mismos errores disfrazados de otro ropaje. Hoy, algunos programas y organismos, incluso de Naciones Unidas, promueven el llamado pago-venta de servicios ambientales. Detrás de este concepto se oculta muy hábilmente un nuevo proceso de control del agua que confrontará comunidades y actores sociales y empresariales de aguas arriba con los de aguas abajo, de cabeceras de cuenca con poblaciones que se benefician de las aguas. Este concepto que pretende imponerse en el caso del agua por la vía de políticas públicas implica la retribución o pago por los servicios de las cuencas. Nosotros no creemos en la retribución económica, creemos en la complementariedad. Las comunidades y el medio ambiente son complementarios y debemos convivir apoyándonos y fortaleciéndonos mutuamente, no en base a pagos, sino al apoyo mutuo, a la colaboración, a la solidaridad, en el marco de obligaciones, de deberes, pero también de apoyo mutuo, teniendo claro que somos interdependientes, las personas y el medio ambiente, las comunidades y la madre tierra. Señor presidente, distinguidos representantes, el mercado de aguas y de títulos de agua, así como los mercados de servicios ambientales, no garantizan el derecho humano al agua ni el derecho del agua para la vida. Es la sociedad y el Estado, los gobiernos, la regulación, el control social comunitario público, así como un papel protagónico del sector público en las inversiones y el fortalecimiento institucional, quienes deben garantizar que el derecho humano al agua se haga una realidad. Finalmente, permítannos hacerles una gran convocatoria a los países y a los gobiernos del mundo. Permítannos hacerlo desde la más profunda y humilde convicción que la voz de los pueblos así lo aclama. Permítannos expresarles, hermanos y hermanas, que el derecho humano al agua y el derecho de la naturaleza y el medio ambiente al agua deben ser, de manera conjunta, los nuevos pilares para construir una nueva visión de la vida, del vivir bien con un espíritu humanista, ambientalista y socialista, convencidos que este ya no es el tiempo del capital, del egoísmo y del lucro, sino que es el tiempo de compartir y de complementarnos con la Madre Tierra y con su maravilloso regalo, que es el agua. Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much, Mr. Minister. I will now give the floor to Her Excellency Manumata Belém Odrago, Minister of Water Installation and the Territory and Sanitation of Burkina Faso.
Excellence, Monsieur Vuk Jeremic, Président de l'Assemblée générale des Nations unies, Monsieur le Secrétaire général des Nations unies, Excellence, Monsieur le Premier ministre du Tadjikistan, Messieurs les ministres, distingués invités, Mesdames, Messieurs. C'est pour moi un réel plaisir de m'adresser à cette auguste Assemblée pour, d'une part, célébrer avec vous la Journée mondiale de l'eau et, d'autre part, partager l'expérience de mon pays, le Burkina Faso, dans la gestion durable des ressources en eau, à l'occasion du dialogue interactif de haut niveau sur la coopération dans le domaine de l'eau et auquel mon pays adhère totalement. En faisant de cette année 2013 l'année internationale de la coopération dans le domaine de l'eau, la communauté internationale reconnaît l'importance de la gestion et de l'utilisation pacifique des ressources en eau. Le gouvernement de mon pays, par ma voix, exprime sa vive reconnaissance à son Excellence, Monsieur le Président de l'Assemblée générale des Nations unies, pour l'avoir associé pleinement à cette manifestation. Le succès de l'année internationale et de la journée mondiale de l'eau dépend de l'implication et de l'engagement d'un grand nombre d'acteurs, incluant enfants, jeunes, adultes, femmes, secteurs économiques, sociétés civiles, décideurs, organisations internationales, organismes de financement internationaux, médias, etc. C'est l'affaire de tous et il faut une participation sociale. Mesdames et messieurs, il nous faut résolument nous engager plus que jamais pour que désormais la ressource eau fasse l'objet d'une gestion qui intègre les besoins des différents usagers et la disponibilité de la ressource dans un esprit d'équité et de durabilité. En effet, depuis la conférence des Nations Unies sur l'environnement et le développement à Rio de Janeiro en juin 1992, la communauté internationale a pris conscience que la maîtrise des ressources en eau est l'un des plus grands défis de l'humanité. L'Afrique dans son ensemble, et l'Afrique de l'Ouest en particulier, n'est pas restée à l'écart de cette évolution mondiale. En témoigne la célèbre conférence de Ouagadougou de mars 1998, avec une déclaration dite de Ouagadougou, invitant tous les participants à aller vers la gestion intégrée des ressources en eau, GIR, par l'adoption de plans de gestion intégrée des ressources en eau. La gestion intégrée des ressources en eau, GIR, est un concept selon lequel l'unité d'action pour la gestion des ressources en eau doit notamment se situer au niveau du bassin hydrographique. Mon pays, le Burkina Faso, a ratifié la charte de l'eau du bassin du fleuve Niger dès 2007, charte qui vise à cette échelle une coopération fondée sur la solidarité et la réciprocité pour une utilisation durable, équitable et coordonnée des ressources en eau. Aujourd'hui, la sécurité de l'eau pour l'humanité et l'environnement naturel a pris une place centrale dans la majeure partie des dialogues internationaux sur l'eau. C'est pourquoi les organisations internationales, régionales et nationales doivent plus que jamais promouvoir la coopération entre les pays pour la gestion rationnelle des ressources en eau. La pleine adhésion de mon pays à la charte de l'autorité du bassin des Volta participe à la mise en œuvre de cette vision partagée. Distingués invités, mesdames, messieurs, en 1998, le gouvernement de mon pays adoptait le document de politique et stratégie en matière d'eau et s'engageait dès 1999 dans un programme national de gestion intégrée des ressources en eau qui aboutit entre autres aux résultats suivants. L'adoption en février 2001 de la loi d'orientation relative à la gestion de l'eau, l'établissement d'un état des lieux des ressources en eau du Burkina Faso et de leur cadre de gestion, l'adoption du plan d'action pour la gestion intégrée des ressources en eau, PAGIR, en 2003, l'adoption du programme national d'approvisionnement en eau potable et l'assainissement. Mesdames, messieurs, le concept de gestion intégrée des ressources en eau a été concrétisé le 22 mars 2007 dans mon pays par la création de l'agence de bassin du Nakambe, à laquelle sont venues s'ajouter 4 autres agences de bassin en cours de mise en œuvre. La création de l'agence de l'eau engage tous les acteurs de l'eau à la gestion concertée, intégrée, équilibrée et durable des ressources en eau du bassin et vise à mieux satisfaire les besoins de tous les usagers de cette ressource. Je voudrais saisir cette occasion solennelle pour saluer la décision des Nations Unies en date du 28 juillet 2010, faisant de l'accès à l'eau et à l'assainissement un droit humain universel. Mesdames et messieurs, depuis toujours, mais aujourd'hui plus que jamais, l'eau est le siège d'innombrables conflits qui peuvent surgir à tout propos. Une telle ressource doit donc faire l'objet d'une gestion quantitative et qualitative efficace, exigeante dans ses objectifs et pragmatique dans ses moyens. C'est pourquoi notre rencontre d'aujourd'hui doit nous permettre d'examiner la contribution de la coopération dans le domaine de l'eau à l'agenda international du développement durable pour la période post-2015 afin de répondre aux besoins de toutes les sociétés. La mobilisation de la coopération à tout niveau pour répondre aux défis liés à l'eau. Et enfin, la science, le développement des capacités et les partenariats. Je fonde l'espoir que les panels permettront de dégager des pistes pour promouvoir le dialogue et la coopération en matière d'eau pour le développement harmonieux des régions du monde. Mesdames et messieurs, L'occasion me paraît donc tout indiquée pour remercier Son Excellence Monsieur le Président de l'Assemblée générale des Nations unies, l'ensemble de la communauté internationale et particulièrement la coopération décentralisée des pays du Nord, la coopération bilatérale et multilatérale qui, sous diverses formes, ont accompagné la gestion intégrée des ressources en eau dans mon pays. À travers eux, puissent tous les autres partenaires s'y reconnaître et en être gratifiés. Nous avons toujours besoin de votre soutien, de quelque nature qu'il soit. D'une part, pour cheminer vers une déconcentration des services de l'eau et des agences de bassin, fort et dynamique, qui révolutionne la gestion de l'eau à travers une approche holistique, équilibrant les demandes concurrentes, et d'autre part, pour se positionner en outil efficace permettant de résorber tout conflit, même potentiel, lié à la gestion sectorielle de l'eau pour magnifier la coopération dans l'intérêt supérieur de tous. Cela paraît à mes yeux le gage du progrès social et du développement économique soutenu. Je vous remercie de votre aimable attention.
Thank you, Madam Minister, and I now give the floor to His Excellency Federico Ramos de Arma, State Secretary of Environment of Spain.
Muchas gracias, excelentísimos señores, Presidente de la Asamblea General, Primer Ministro de Tayikistán, Ministro de Medio Ambiente y Agua de Emiratos Árabes Unidos, Ministro de Medio Ambiente y Agua de Bolivia, Ministra de Agua, Infraestructuras Hídricas y Saneamiento de Burkina Faso, distinguidos delegados, señoras y señores. Deseo comenzar mi intervención felicitando solemnemente al Presidente de la Asamblea General por incorporar este diálogo al programa de la Asamblea y al Gobierno de Tayikistán por haber tenido la iniciativa de promoverlo. Su celebración no puede ser más oportuna, teniendo en cuenta que 2013 ha sido declarado por esta Asamblea como el Año Internacional de la Cooperación en Materia de Agua. Año en el que, además, se celebrarán otras reuniones, la Conferencia Internacional de Alto Nivel sobre Cooperación en Materia de Agua, que acogerá precisamente Tayikistán, la Semana Mundial sobre Agua en Estocolmo y la Cumbre sobre Agua de Budapest. Debemos comprometernos firmemente en que esta actividad internacional se traduzca en reales logros efectivos. El agua es un elemento indispensable para la vida, como ya se ha dicho hoy en numerosas ocasiones. Su disponibilidad es necesaria para que las personas puedan desarrollar una vida digna. De acuerdo con la Declaración del Milenio, en 2015 tenemos que reducir a la mitad el porcentaje de personas que carecen del acceso a agua potable y al saneamiento. Sabemos, por ejemplo, que la distancia media que camina la mujer en muchos países de África y Asia para recoger agua es superior a 6 kilómetros. Y que el consumo por persona y día en la mayoría de los países europeos supera los 200 litros, mientras que en otros países del mundo no alcanza ni siquiera los 10 litros. También sabemos que el precio del agua en los suburbios de algunas ciudades de países pobres es 10 veces más alto que el que pagan los consumidores de ciudades como Londres, Madrid o esta misma ciudad de Nueva York. Todavía quedan en el mundo demasiadas escuelas sin abastecimiento de agua potable y sin saneamiento. Tenemos la obligación entre todos de cambiar esta realidad. Será inadmisible que no cumplamos este objetivo y no debemos engañarnos. Sobre nosotros recae la responsabilidad de lograrlo. Garantizar la seguridad en el acceso al agua ayudará decisivamente a erradicar la pobreza y el hambre y a mejorar la salud pública de las poblaciones. Además, es imprescindible para que haya seguridad alimentaria y fomenta un desarrollo rural justo. La prevención de los enfrentamientos armados y el mantenimiento de la paz dependen, en buena medida, de un acceso equitativo a este recurso. Los retos que nos enfrentamos son, entre otros, la escasez, el cambio climático, el aumento de la demanda y, en general, el crecimiento demográfico. Pero también hay que ser optimistas. Nunca antes hemos tenido los conocimientos científicos y técnicos de los que hoy disponemos para encarar estos desafíos de forma eficaz. Tal y como recoge la reciente declaración de Río+20, debemos proteger los ecosistemas cuya función es capital para el mantenimiento de la cantidad y calidad del agua. Tenemos que adoptar medidas que hagan frente a las inundaciones y a las sequías, reducir la contaminación y aumentar la calidad de nuestras aguas. También debemos mejorar el tratamiento de nuestras aguas residuales y reducir las pérdidas. Señor presidente, en esta tarea la cooperación internacional es fundamental y el sistema de Naciones Unidas está llamado a desempeñar un papel protagonista, como bien simboliza este diálogo de hoy de alto nivel. España considera que la cooperación internacional en materia de agua es una política imprescindible para asegurar que todos tengan un acceso suficiente de calidad al agua y al saneamiento. El Gobierno de España ha materializado este apoyo mediante la creación en 2008 del Fondo de Cooperación de Agua y Saneamiento, que ha desembolsado hasta la fecha más de 800 millones de euros en Latinoamérica, destinados a 67 programas y proyectos en 19 países distintos, en asociación con el Banco Interamericano de Desarrollo. Una manifestación especialmente relevante de esta apuesta española por la cooperación intergubernamental y que quiero destacar es la Conferencia de Directores Iberoamericanos del Agua, la CODIA, cuya secretaría alberga el Gobierno de España a través del Ministerio de Agricultura, Alimentación y Medio Ambiente, al que yo represento. Este mecanismo de cooperación nació como respuesta al mandato del primer Foro Iberoamericano de Ministros de Medio Ambiente en el año 2001. Se trata de un espacio de diálogo para el intercambio de conocimiento y el fortalecimiento de las capacidades y las habilidades de los gestores, tanto públicos como privados, del agua. La formación, la capacitación, se han convertido en uno de los ejes vertebradores de esta cooperación a través del Programa de Formación Iberoamericano en materia de agua. Este instrumento viene a dar respuesta a una demanda histórica de formación y capacitación de profesionales en los ámbitos de la planificación y de la gestión de los recursos hídricos, supliendo así una carencia reiteradamente detectada en los diferentes foros internacionales. Esta carencia constituye un notable factor limitante en el buen gobierno del agua, en su gestión sostenible y en su manejo adaptativo a las consecuencias del cambio climático. Este programa de formación está funcionando desde el año 2007 y ha sido respaldado por los jefes de Estado y de Gobierno de los países iberoamericanos en la 18ª Cumbre Iberoamericana. Este programa cuenta con la participación de profesionales de todos los países de América Latina, Caribe, España y Portugal. Una iniciativa, señor presidente, apoyada por el Programa de las Naciones Unidas para el Medio Ambiente, el PNUMA, y por la Agencia Española de Cooperación Internacional para el Desarrollo, AECID. El éxito de esta iniciativa se vio refrendado en la última edición de la Conferencia de Directores Iberoamericanos de Agua, celebrada el pasado mes de noviembre en Brasil, durante la cual se firmaron distintos acuerdos destinados a fortalecer este foro de cooperación y sus mecanismos de capacitación. Entre los compromisos alcanzados, quisiera resaltar el futuro Plan Estratégico de la CODIA, que pretende afianzar el papel de esta conferencia, así como la creación de un grupo de trabajo para analizar el programa de formación de la CODIA y hacerlo más versátil y atractivo para todos los profesionales del agua. La próxima reunión de este grupo se celebrará conjuntamente entre España y Portugal en septiembre de 2013 y ahondará en la cooperación internacional en materia de agua a través de los instrumentos de formación y capacitación que tan excelentes resultados están generando. Señor presidente, España, mi país, tiene una amplia tradición en la gestión de recursos hídricos. La frecuencia de los episodios de escasez y sequía nos ha obligado a desarrollar desde hace años una potente acción política, legal, social y técnica para resolver esta cuestión. Nuestro modelo de gestión, basado en una planificación del recurso, ha permitido asegurar un abastecimiento universal, la mejora del saneamiento, así como la paulatina incorporación de fuentes no convencionales como el agua desalada y la reutilizada, elementos claves para garantizar la suficiencia y sostenibilidad del sistema. Por tanto, España está en condiciones de compartir su experiencia y conocimiento con el resto de la comunidad internacional. muchos de los obstáculos a los que se enfrentan ahora numerosos países han sido ya superados en el nuestro. El intercambio de conocimiento y la colaboración para formar especialistas ayudará a los gobiernos de otras regiones del mundo con problemas similares. El compromiso de mi gobierno es ofrecer tan amplia como sea posible colaboración en este campo. Señor presidente, en realidad de lo que estamos hablando es del bienestar humano más elemental. Como recogía el informe del Programa de Naciones Unidas para el Desarrollo de 1990, el objetivo básico del desarrollo es crear un ambiente propicio para que los seres humanos disfruten de una vida prolongada, saludable y creativa. Esta puede parecer una verdad obvia, aunque con frecuencia se olvida debido a la preocupación inmediata de acumular bienes de consumo y riqueza financiera. El crecimiento económico es un elemento esencial de una política pública sensata, pero tampoco debemos perder de vista que debe servir de instrumento para alcanzar otros fines. Y uno de los más importantes e irrenunciables es garantizar ese acceso seguro y universal al agua. Finalmente, permítanme aprovechar esta tribuna para invitar a todos los asistentes a participar en el acto paralelo que organiza el PNUD hoy a mediodía en la sala de conferencias número 7 sobre gobernanza del agua. Será una oportunidad muy interesante para conocer de primera mano los progresos alcanzados en materia de agua y saneamiento en el marco de las actuaciones del fondo suscrito entre el Gobierno de España y el Programa de Naciones Unidas. Muchas gracias a todos.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. And as members have been informed, this high-level interactive dialogue consists of two separate panel discussions, which will be held today in this chamber. Delegations are encouraged to use the opportunity to pose questions and respond in an interactive manner to the comments and presentations made by panelists and other experts. The first panel, entitled Setting the Stage, Issues, Challenges, and Opportunities for Water Cooperation, will be moderated by His Excellency Jan Eliasson, Deputy Secretary General of the UN and President of the 60th session of the General Assembly. It will take place this morning, as of now, until 1 o'clock p.m. And the second panel, which is entitled Exploring Proposal Strategies and Cooperative Solutions for the Period After 2015, will be moderated by Mrs. Annette Huber-Lee, Asia Center Director and Senior Scientist of the Stockholm Environment Institute. It will take place this afternoon from 3 o'clock to 5:45 p.m. The closing segment will take place immediately thereafter, and I would now like to invite the moderator, who's here already, and the panelists of the first panel to take their seats at the podium. Thank you very much.
Serbia.
Very, very welcome to this panel, which is having the heading Setting the Stage, Issues, Challenges, and Opportunities for Water Cooperation. I'm Jan Eliasson. I'm a former President of the General Assembly and now Deputy Secretary General. And I have personally a very strong commitment to the water and sanitation issues. When I was President of the General Assembly, I raised my glass and said at the time, 2005, that this is a luxury, a dream, for at that time, almost a billion people. Today, I can say the figure is now 783 million people. A slight improvement on water. But if you add to this problem of fresh water, which is a luxury for 703 million, that 2.5 billion people don't have sanitation, which is a euphemism for toilets. And remember that there are 1.1 billion people who exercise practice open defecation, which is a public health problem but also an environmental problem. Well, then you realize that what follows is, as one example, 3,000 children dying every day, of diarrheas, dysentery, dehydration, cholera. And I've seen them die in front of my own eyes when I was mediator in the Iran-Iraq, in the Darfur crisis, and when I was emergency relief coordinator in Somalia. That's the stark realities. Water is absolutely crucial. It's not only life, it's also whether we will be able to share resources, whether we will prevent conflicts to erupt, and it has to do also how we take care of our planet. I have negotiated in so many conflicts. We need to make peace with nature. There's a need to make peace with nature. This is what this is all about. And that we, who now populate this planet, have a responsibility to deal with the issues more seriously than ever. And that's why we yesterday launched a drive for sanitation for 2015. The next 1,000 days, approximately, will be the days of acceleration for the MDGs. And the water and sanitation goal, above all sanitation, is the most lagging of all goals. And we, if we have to exercise credibility, create credibility for the agenda of development after 2015, we have to prove that we can really accelerate this MDG process until 2015. This is the background that I would like to give, and that is the length of my speech. So I finish here, so that we will be able to have interactive discussion with the help of this very, very prominent panel. There is one panelist who has not been able to reach us, Mr. Salem Old Merzoug, but we have three excellent panelists that now will give their introductions. We will try to make them brief, and we will then open up for you to bring out your contributions as interactively as possible. If you could ban your manuscripts, it could help a bit, but at least we will try to shorten ours. So in this spirit, we will start. And the first speaker will be Dr. Zafar Adil, Director of United Nations University Institute for Water, Environment and Health. So I ask Dr. Zafir to start this, these contributions from the panel. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Excellencies, distinguished panelists, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning and share with you some views on the notion of water security, which fits in very nicely with the theme of international water cooperation. The views that I will share with you are based on an analytical brief that UN Water has produced, which is going to be launched today, right after this panel discussion. The process and the theme of water security was identified about 3 years ago by UN Water. As many of you know, it's a a grouping of 30 UN organizations, agencies, and also about 25 partners. A group of 35 individuals representing 15 countries have worked on this, 15 organizations, I'm sorry, have represented this analytical brief. It has been reviewed by world-class leading experts, and it has been finally reviewed and endorsed by all the members and partners of UN Water. And what it does is it basically provides a working definition of water security, which we think provides a framework and a starting point for discussion around the notion of water security, which I'll explain in a minute. It also allows for discussions to be linked in with the post-2015 agenda. And in fact, we believe that it will be a good starting point to consider water security as a sustainable development goal moving forward. It links the notion of water security. It links with sustainable economic and environmental development. It links to issues of employment. It links to issues of human health and well-being. And it indeed also links to food, nutrition, hunger, and even energy security. And these elements are quite central in order for us to actually move forward. In order to achieve water security, there are some key elements that we need to consider. We need to think about innovations in financial mechanism, perhaps some good ways of engaging the private sector and moving this forward, and also to identify ways of enhancing transboundary cooperation, which we think will become indeed a mechanism for regional collaboration on other issues as well. We need to have an empowerment in institutions and governance mechanisms, indeed through legislative and policy support that comes to focus on the notion of water security. It has to link with climate change and the changes to the water cycle, and we have to indeed then link this back to the discussions that have taken place in the UN Security Council. And in fact, UN Water is suggesting that water security becomes an agenda item for the UN Security Council. It has to link with climate to conflicts and disasters, and particularly in conditions where there is already existing social fragility and where tensions and violence already exist. Let me close off by spending a couple of minutes talking about what the UN system can do around this notion of water security. And there are three main roles that UN Water has identified. The first one, as you can imagine, is that the UN system can help build capacity, particularly those of institutions that can help us bring focus on water security in its various dimensions. Secondly, we can provide support and backstopping to the member states in implementing the notion of water security, particularly in terms of various dimensions of policy guidance in the elements that I just mentioned a moment ago. And thirdly, in terms of looking at the notion of monitoring and reporting, there are a number of existing mechanisms inside of UN Water which are looking at the global challenges facing the community in terms of water, sanitation, water resources, and water-related disasters. We think that those mechanisms can be transformed and can be utilized, particularly in view of where the dialogue around the post-2015 development agenda is moving, and UN Water and the UN system can play a main role in monitoring against those targets and indicators and reporting back. So let me close off by once again stating that we think that water security is an important element of cooperation around water, and in fact, this is a way for us to move forward in terms of the development agenda from this point onwards. So with those words, I pass the floor back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Zafar, and thank you for keeping the six-minute intervention. I now give the floor to Mr. Balázs Medgyessy, Commission of the Government of Hungary, for the EU strategy for the Danube region under the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Hungary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Excellencies, distinguished panelists and guests. It's an honor to brief you about the EU strategy for the Danube region. The Danube region is the most international river of the planet Earth, so our challenges are quite highlighted in terms of the pressures of the climate change and the increasing race for the using of fresh water resources. The Danube region has seen consecutive years of peak flood levels exceeding the historic records. We have in the same years historic floods. There is an increasing pressure on the limited freshwater resources and also the aquifers for drinking water. We have accident risk spots and point sources of pollution to address to name a few. Also, in the context of being the most international river basin of the world, with countries from the European Union and non-European Union with various economic measures and various economic figures, it is another also very challenging matter how to provide a safe and equal level of sanitation, access to drinking water, and also sewage and wastewater treatment throughout the whole region. But water governance itself is challenging, as setting strategies need comparable and reliable monitoring system and water governance background, which a similar legislative background in the same time. So our challenges are numerous, and as we know that water is a key resource of the 21st century, we are also aware that water is essential for the operation of the society and the various sectors of the economy. Waters and rivers are crucial for tourism, drinking water, ecosystems, navigations, culture, quality of life, and cities and settlements for our region, as well as navigation, just to name a few. So inevitably, historically, there are some conflicts of interest between these uses of water. But we are also presented with a new opportunity that is unprecedented, is the strategy for the EU Danube region. It is important that this strategy relies heavily in bilateral and multilateral efforts that were set up within the context of the UNEC Water Convention. It is also important that it relies on the EU water legislation that represents a shift in paradigm to an integrated management of river basins. The Danube strategy also covers all major pillars of sustainable development, integrating macro-regional efforts of various sectors, also demanding a harmonization of development policies with water policy. And EU members of the strategy must align their regional financing schemes with the strategy and with water policies in all affected sectors. And to name the last very important aspect of the strategy, the innovation that is necessary to use fully such an innovative mechanism. We are establishing macro-regional models of optimization of strategies for various subsectors of water use, from flood management throughout countries and borders to finding the best solutions of addressing the drinking water shortages and pressures within the Danube macro-region. Our most important findings in our operation so far is that there is no alternative to water cooperation. Without cooperation, no amount of financial resources are is sufficient to safeguard our future in terms of water-related natural events or safeguarding drinking waters. Good water governance is a key for addressing the water challenges, and integration of water and sectoral policies is a must if we are to think outside the water box and we are looking at methods to efficiently address our water challenges. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I thank you very much, Balaj, for this very concise presentation. And I think we should remember what you just stated. There is no alternative to water cooperation. If you have scarce resources, there are two ways to deal with it. You either cooperate and share resources, or you compete or even fight about it. When I was in Darfur, I saw how in villages dead lamb or dogs had been thrown into a well as part of the warfare. Well, what did that help the other side to have destroyed that resources? This was to get people to flee to the camps. So we have only this road to go, and I think that's why all the projects that are presented here, and yours most recently, is a sign that if we share those resources, we also create interdependence. And interdependence can be a peace factor. If you realize that if you hurt your neighbor, you hurt yourself. So that's, I think, the logic of this cooperation. Okay, we go on to the third panelist, and it's a friend of mine, I would say, Dr. Ushi Aid, who is vice chair of United Nations Secretariat's Advisory Board, chaired, by the way, of the Prince of Orange until the 1st of May. Then he is promoted to be king of the Netherlands. That's what happens if you work with water issues. I don't think it will happen to Ushi Aid.
Don't be afraid. I will not be Her Royal Highness afterwards. Yeah.
But we have you as vice chair, and we are very happy to give you the floor now. Ushi, please.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jan. I was asked to say a few words to the Nexus challenges and needed steps to make it practical, and how this approach can be integrated into the post-2015 goal framework. So, but just to recall, I would like to say the Nexus thinking is premised first on the interlinkages between key sectors, that is water, food and energy, but the framework allows easily to be expanded also to integrate health and ecosystems. The Nexus thinking is premised secondly on the concept of planetary boundaries. So not going into detail, we all know what it means, population growth, industrialization, the increase of standard of living on the background of urbanization and climate change. So if the demand for food, energy and water is going on as it is at the moment, we will have in 2030 a 40% water gap. Yeah, so we have to take precaution to see to it also that we cannot make decisions without knowing, you know, decisions in one sector without knowing what it does. Does it do good or does it do harm in the other sector? So this is very important to have this as a key principle of the Nexus. Now, many steps have been undertaken to improve resource efficiency. Even I was very pleased to hear the Secretary General to use this slogan, which is in the meantime very well known, more crop per drop. But to manage successfully the Nexus involves additional principles such as enhanced resource productivity, optimal allocation of scarce resource in production processes, unlock productive potential. We have a lot of potential which is sleeping, and we have to make bold political decisions to unlock that potential. We have to minimize unnecessary losses. Go to your cities and see how much water you are losing in your pipelines, yeah, in the cities, or we have to end waste. Go at home and see how many people are throwing away food. we have, with this food, we throw away water and energy. Yeah, so we have to end waste because it will waste not only the food itself, but also water and energy. We have to end perversive subsidies. This is very crucial. Now, how do we get there? Key is policy coherence, and I only address us here at the UN because we are sitting here. Let us start with us. We need to establish a coordination system, for example, between the FAO, the UN Water, and UN Energy, and our board is just in the process of inviting them to our next meeting in May. Let us take IRENA, the Agency for Renewable Energy, the nexus between energy and desalination of water, not only for drinking, but mainly for food production in irrigation agriculture, is obvious and should be given special consideration for water-stressed countries. Let's take the transboundary river basin organizations, as our colleague is not here, but the organizations must look into the interlinkages between the water, which is needed for irrigation, the water which is needed for energy production, and the water that is needed for the soil that is around the area. Of course, we on the national level, we have to have interministerial coordination because when we talk to water ministers, let's say the African Water Ministers Council, we always hear that agriculture is in a sector thinking for itself, the health ministry, the education ministry, but when it comes to water, they are all interlinked. Of course, business is important, a very important actor. And we have to see the whole supply chain when we have to take into consideration the interconnectedness of the sectors, be it a brewery or be it in the automobile production. What is needed are accounting systems based on sustainability criteria in the Nexus framework. My last words are, how could the post-2015 framework take into account the various interlinkages? First, I'm extremely pleased that the thematic online consultation last week has focused on the Nexus, and we are really curious to learn about the results. Now, we have to ensure that newly development goal systems will reflect the Nexus thinking, be it the MDGs or the SDGs. The goals will, I presume, maybe they are individual goals, and they have to be taking into consideration in the implementation modalities these interlinkages. I'm not going into it, maybe I leave it to the discussion, but the second possible way is to have something I would call the Nexus Index. So we could, for example, have an index vis-à-vis the amount of energy used to clean or certain to clean a certain volume of wastewater, or the ratio of land used for crop production versus energy crop production. I can go on with the list. I leave it to the experts to look into the individual goals and how to deal with them. But basically, also, Mr. Deputy Secretary General, I put it into your hands to bring all this, what we are discussing now, into the respective processes so that it is taken care in the correct channels. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your confidence, Oshi. And we have 12 speakers on the list. The first two will be South Africa. I hope you are in the room. And Finland speaking on behalf of the Nordic countries. Then we have Switzerland, India, Germany, Italy, Uzbekistan, Slovenia, Mexico, Singapore, observer state of Palestine. And I would just say that Oshi brought out something which is also absolutely crucial. If we are to be successful in this drive for water and sanitation, we need to have mobilization of all actors. We have to accept the principle of shared responsibility. We have to look at this issue from the global perspective that we do from this rostrum and from this organization, but also from the regional, the bilateral, as we, in many cases cross-boundary situations, national and local. And local is actually what is perhaps the most important. Have you thought of that there is a false dichotomy between global and local? Global is somebody else's local. Global is somebody else's local. In other words, action will have to be counted on the local level in the end. And we need to mobilize international organizations, regional organizations, national authorities, local authorities, civil society, private sector, the scientific community around these issues. And more or less try to have some type of informal division of labor and put this problem, this glass of water, or this sanitation problem, this toilet, in the middle. And then finally do something about this, because it has such enormously important ramifications. So I think that we have set the example somewhat for you. We have had three interventions, less than 6 minutes, or approximately 6 minutes. And we will now ask you to keep your interventions. It's not quite fair, but we're asking you to keep to 3 minutes. But in order to accommodate the 12 speakers on the list, I think it would be good if we could keep that. And then I hope we have time for the panelists then to respond to the comments from the floor, so you pick up the comments that are relevant for you. The first one is... South Africa. You have the floor. Representative of South Africa.
Distinguished delegates, South Africa supports the commemoration of water cooperation and other global initiatives advancing sustainable water management and conservation worldwide. In this respect, South Africa agrees that water resource management issues need to be addressed at the local, national, and appropriate regional and international levels. All stakeholders, including those in government, international organizations, the private sector, civil society, and academia, should be engaged, paying special attention to the livelihoods of the poor and the most vulnerable. Water management policies need to be consistent with other government policies and priorities integrated in government planning and prioritization across sectors. In doing so, governments need to ensure a balanced and fair distribution in the allocation of natural resources while keeping in mind the biophysical limits of the environment. South Africa is one of the 30 most arid countries in the world, and therefore we are obliged to conserve water every day, respect it, and use it responsibly and efficiently. The South African government, through its Department of Water Affairs, has budgeted 4 million rand for this year's National Water Week to promote and launch water schemes that support the different industries, such as energy and mining. These include the official commissioning of the Komati Water Augmentation Scheme in Mpumalanga and the first impoundment of the Dewop Dam in Limpopo. South Africa has various agreements and protocols on water management that we share with the region, the continent, and the world. In this respect, the work done on the water transfer and hydropower Lesotho Highlands Water Project with the Lesotho government should be seen as one of our showcase projects. Being cognizant of the importance of water development, South Africa wishes to emphasize the importance of mobilizing political will and commitment to address water issues not only at a national and regional level but worldwide. Equally important are forward thinking and a willingness to consider innovative ways to approach local, regional, and international cooperation. Open discussion on the issues shaping our water resources today and strong citizen participation in decision-making, which is key to fostering good governance and a climate of accountability and transparency, can stimulate cooperative action and political commitment. Promoting a culture of consultation and increasing participative capacities will help to deliver benefits in all areas, including collaborative water management. Water is key to sustainable development. It has value from a social, economic, and environmental perspective and needs to be managed within a sound, integrated socio-economic and environmental framework. Water is key to reducing poverty. Given the basic necessity of water to sustain life and its central role in the provision of a wide range of services, water is a crucial and cross-cutting factor in the heart of all the MDGs. It is in this context that South Africa supports the view of African ministers that water should be a standalone goal beyond 2015. We share the view that each responsible government should provide a solid regulatory framework and implementation structure to manage the use of its water resources. Thank you.
I thank you very much. And I now give the floor to the representative of Finland speaking on behalf of the Nordic countries.
Mr. Moderator, ladies and gentlemen, the Nordic countries Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden would like to seize this opportunity to contribute to the discussion. At the outset, we would like to thank the PGA's office for organizing today's important event in recognition of the World Water Day. We find water cooperation an excellent theme for this event, especially given the cross-cutting and border-crossing nature of water. Ladies and gentlemen, water cooperation is truly needed at all levels, from local to global. Our own local and regional experience shows that solutions must involve all stakeholders. The public sector can encourage innovation through ambitious regulatory frameworks. Besides businesses, also NGOs do valuable work to develop new and low-cost solutions. Environmental accounting tools, like the so-called water footprint, help to address water use in production and consumption chains. And as an emerging theme, public awareness about global flows of virtual water is also needed in order to promote sustainable consumption patterns and properly understand our global responsibility. At the international level, the Global Water Conventions from 92 and 97 offer excellent tools for promoting further cooperation. The International Year of Water Cooperation is the perfect time for joining the conventions, and we encourage all countries to seize the opportunity. The UN Water Courses Convention from 97 is about to reach the number of ratifications required to enter into force, and the UNECE Convention from 92 has recently been opened also to countries outside the region. These conventions promote common, sustainable, and equitable management of water resources. Furthermore, they provide a framework for concluding new bilateral and multilateral agreements. Cooperation can and should be understood at other levels as well. The MDGs have, as we know, not been able to tackle all aspects of inequality. In order to do that, the new goals, targets, and indicators should no longer focus solely on aggregate progress and outcomes. The poor, minorities, indigenous people, children, older people, people with chronic illnesses, persons with disabilities, to name but a few of the most vulnerable groups, must be included in designing the post-2015 agenda. Women and girls are to be paid special attention, as water can quite literally become a heavy burden on them. Around the world, women use hours of their daily time to carry and process household water and maintain sanitation. Ladies and gentlemen, the potential benefits of water cooperation and common management of water resources cannot be overemphasized. Better management of demand and the sharing of benefits of water will be increasingly more important to enable sustainable economic development and regional integration. By having a nexus approach to water positive impacts in areas like energy security, food security, protection of water resources, environmental cooperation, adaptation to climate change, and controlling of security risks can be achieved. Ultimately, water cooperation helps to achieve progress in all areas that we are here at the United Nations striving for: peace and security, human rights, and sustainable development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your statement was slightly over 3 minutes, but you spoke on behalf of five nations, so it was acceptable. But I hope that you really tried to keep the three-minute rule. Otherwise, we will have to have a situation where some will not speak at 1 o'clock when we have to close. So I now give the floor to the permanent representative of Switzerland, who is ready now. Thank you very much.
Oui, je vais me tenir à la règle des 3 minutes. D'ailleurs, j'ai déjà jeté de côté mes speaking notes. Je veux juste brièvement, répondre à quelques panélistes, en commençant peut-être par Madame Hyde qui a parlé de sujet de l'eau pour les objectifs du millénaire et a fait la réflexion de ces interrelations avec d'autres sujets, comment appeler ça, le next thinking. Juste pour dire que nous sommes absolument d'accord avec cette approche-là. Et d'ailleurs, nous soutenons, d'ailleurs, je pense qu'elle en pense, un principe d'un but d'eau, n'est-ce pas, autour de trois thèmes qu'on appelle water sanitation, water resource management and wastewater management. Je pense que ça va, à notre avis, exactement dans cette réflexion de l'interrelation. Ça, c'est le premier point que je voulais juste mentionner. Ensuite, pour réagir à M. Adel et aussi à M. Medieschi, en ce qui concerne la coopération et la sécurité. Alors, ce que nous essayons de faire à ce sujet, c'est de soutenir un processus que nous appelons Blue Peace, qui envisage la gestion durable et équitable de l'eau. Et puis, si on regarde certaines régions du monde, par exemple le Moyen-Orient ou l'Asie centrale, où nous sommes fortement associés au secteur de l'eau, il y a apparemment, en fait, les grandes fleuves ont décliné entre 50 et 90% entre 1960 et 2010. Alors, je suis d'accord avec vous, avec toi, Yann, que la question de l'avenir, ce sera est-ce que nous allons nous battre pour l'eau ou est-ce qu'à l'avenir, nous allons coopérer, nous tous. Et c'est pour ça que nous sommes très en faveur d'une coopération. C'est pour ça que nous avons essayé de mettre en œuvre ce concept de la diplomatie bleue. Je termine juste pour poser deux questions aux panélistes, surtout ceux qui prônent la coopération et peut-être aussi la question du Danube. Qu'est-ce que a fonctionné dans le passé et qu'est-ce qui n'a pas fonctionné et dans quelle mesure on peut quand même, transformer un système plutôt complexe comme celui de la Danube à d'autres régions du monde? Parce que la Danube que je sais, en fait, est utilisée pour l'eau, pour l'eau potable, pour l'hydroénergie, pour la transportation de bateaux, etc. Est-ce qu'un système complexe comme celui-ci s'apprête à être transformé à d'autres domaines? Et puis, la deuxième question est, en fait, quels sont les mécanismes concrets? Alors, est-ce que le droit des conventions, c'est un modèle ou est-ce qu'il faut travailler plutôt sur des coopérations politiques? J'espère que j'avais respecté les 3 minutes.
Je vous remercie pour cette intervention très interactive. Sur certainement en moins de 3 minutes. Okay, we will move to. We have a slight change of the order because of request from the floor, but the European Union followed by Uzbekistan and India. So, European Union, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Deputy Secretary General. I will do my best to reduce my text, which was much longer, in my oral version, and I would ask delegations to refer to a written version that we have for the things that I'm now going to leave out. The European Union and its member states welcome the opportunity to discuss water cooperation in the General Assembly. At the occasion of World Water Day, in parallel with the official event in The Hague, and as we celebrate the International Year of Water Cooperation. The challenges that water security creates in terms of economic and social development, as well as on peace and security, are enormous. The impact of climate change only further aggravates these risks, acting as a multiplier for water shortages, poor water quality, droughts, or floods. Despite the fact that the world will likely surpass the drinking water MDG target, over 780 million people today do not have access to improved sources of drinking water, especially in Africa, as you, Mr. President, have repeatedly reminded us. Moreover, the sanitation MDG targets remains severely off track. Safe drinking water and sanitation are crucial for a healthy and dignified life. Yet those millions of people worldwide still lacking access to clean water, clean drinking water, are deprived of a basic human right. The European Union and its member states affirm that human right to safe drinking water and sanitation is derived from the right to an adequate standard of living and inextricably related to the right to the highest attainable standards of physical and mental health, as well as the right of life and human dignity. In addition to the bilateral cooperation of EU member states themselves, the European Union has provided since 2007 nearly 2 billion euro to water and sanitation projects in more than 62 countries worldwide. The commitment of the Union and its member states to the water sector was reinforced during Rio+20. However, and despite the great development in the sector, we should also recognize the challenges ahead and the threat of increasing tensions in many parts of the world due to the lack of access to clean water and to increased competition over water resources. These needs will only be met with additional access to water resources, increased water efficiency, and by ensuring that the competing needs for drinking water, water for agriculture, etc., are reconciled in an integrated and equitable manner. Mr. President, enhanced water cooperation across borders is indispensable. This year's theme is water cooperation. Water security is most often a regional and transboundary issue. Water resources are limited and unequally distributed across countries and regions, and this can be a source of tensions and instability. Europe, Mr. President, is a land of shared waters. About 60% of the EU's country surface area lies in river basins that cross at least one national border within and beyond the European Union. Joint management of Europe's international rivers has a long history. We believe that equitable, efficient, and collaborative management of transboundary water resources is an essential element for sustainable development, security, and stability. Indeed, it is essential to help adaptation to and mitigation of climate change. We stand ready to share our experience and expertise. The European Union Water Initiative is an example of where we are already very heavily engaged. Transboundary water cooperation can also be strengthened by supporting the UNICEF 1992 Water Convention, which is now open to non-European states. Mr. President, finally, water security is one of the major security challenges of our time. We are aware of the challenges, but also of the opportunities given by water cooperation and are fully committed to cooperating with partners. On the occasion of World Water Day, and as we celebrate the International Year of Water Cooperation, we would like to stress the importance of continuing to raise awareness about water cooperation, continue to promoting sustainable and collaborative approaches on management of shared water resources, and continue to exploring ways we can all work together in pursuing these common objectives. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, and thank you for pointing to both water efficiency and the role of agriculture, absolutely a crucial issue, and the whole problem area of brown water versus blue water, purification and use of seeds that do not need that much water, as we have seen in the past. Here, science has a very important role. And I'm glad you didn't take advantage of the full numbers of members of the European Union and associated countries. Thank you very much. We will now move on to Uzbekistan. The President of Uzbekistan, please.
Уважаемый господин председатель, спасибо за предоставленное слово. Я постараюсь сократить свое сегодняшнее выступление. Полная версия нашей позиции и наше выступление будет предоставлено в печатном виде. Одним из наиболее значимых кризисов современности, сегодня это уже отмечалось, стала трагедия Арала, которая за очень короткий исторический промежуток из некогда одного из самых крупных внутриконтинентальных водоемов в мире превратилась в Аралкум, огромную пустыню в сердце Центральной Азии. Сегодня при Арале сложился сложный комплекс не только экологических, но и социально-экономических и демографических проблем, имеющих негативные последствия для всего мира. В этом, в частности, убедился генеральный секретарь Пан Ги Мун в 2010 году, в ходе посещения Узбекистана, когда он посетил в том числе Аралкум, дно бывшего Аральского моря. Выражая серьезную обеспокоенность последствиями катастрофы, связанной с высыханием Арала, президент Узбекистана Ислам Каримов неоднократно и последовательно выступал за рациональное и эффективное использование водных ресурсов Центральной Азии. В действительности необходимо отметить, что практически все водные ресурсы нашего региона сконцентрированы в бассейнах рек Сырдарья и Амударья. Сегодня об этом упоминалось в выступлении премьер-министра Таджикистана, господина Акилова. Эти две реки обеспечивают водой наш обширный регион с более чем 60 миллионов населения. Очевидно, что в случае снижения водотока этих рек экологические, социальные, экономические эффекты могут иметь катастрофические последствия для жителей Центральной Азии. Международная общественность и известные эксперты, неоднократно удостоверившись, подтверждают, что в Узбекистане проводится большая и дорогостоящая работа, направленная на сохранение и рациональное использование наших водных ресурсов. За последние годы в рамках осуществляемых в Узбекистане масштабных реформ в сельском хозяйстве создана ассоциация водопользователей. Значительно сокращены посевы сельхозкультур, требующих чрезмерных водных затрат. В частности, площади хлопчатника сейчас занимают лишь около 25% орошаемых полей нашей страны. Более подробно об этом вы можете ознакомиться в официальном документе текущей сессии Генассамблеи, который был опубликован несколько дней назад. Узбекистан, где проживает почти 50% населения всего региона, и который в небольшой степени, наибольшей степени пострадал от катастрофы Аральского моря, сегодня имеет моральное и юридическое право на более тесное сотрудничество и согласованность государств региона по рациональному и разумному использованию наших общих водных ресурсов. В этой связи хотелось бы отдельно подчеркнуть, что, говоря о водном сотрудничестве Центральной Азии, важно помнить и полностью соблюдать основополагающие международные правовые документы ООН, регулирующие отношения в области совместного водопользования. В этих документах четко установлено, что все решения по использованию трансграничных рек, в том числе при строительстве гидроэнергетических сооружений, не должны ни в коей мере наносить ущерб окружающей среде, не ущемлять интересы сопредельных государств. Руководствуясь этими общепризнанными международно-правовыми принципами и нормами, Узбекистан выступает категорически против строительства крупных гидротехнических сооружений в верховьях трансграничных рек Центральной Азии без учета интересов и согласия стран низовья. В этих условиях любые попытки реализовывать проекты, которые были разработаны 30-40 лет назад, еще в советский период, по возведению в верховьях этих рек масштабных гидросооружений с гигантскими плотинами, представляются нецелесообразными. Как не адак... Thanks, sir.
Very much. I think you pointed at the importance of dealing with transboundary issues in a way which takes into account the interests of both sides of the border. And you pointed at something which is very important for us to focus upon in the future. Okay, we will move on to India, and then we have Germany. India, and President of India, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for giving me the floor, and let me begin by congratulating everyone on World Water Day. This is also the International Year of Water, and therefore our deliberations today are even more meaningful. We are very honored by the presence of the Prime Minister of Tajikistan in the session and would like to thank his delegation for the leadership on water issues at the United Nations. Mr. Chairman, water plays a seminal role in development, and this can hardly be overemphasized. Agriculture, food security depend on water, and so do our livelihoods, our health, our biodiversity, and our ecosystems. Water availability and distribution is challenged by the lack of development, limitations of geography, growing demand, pollution of water bodies, recurrent floods and droughts, and environmental stress. Climate change impacts are also likely to add a great deal more of further variability and water stress. Water conservation, rainwater harvesting, reducing waste, and recycling water have yielded synergistic results globally, both in urban and rural settings, and we need to build on them. It's, of course, very urgent that in dealing with water issues, the sustainable use of water and reducing its wastage is addressed in the entire process of unsustainable consumption and production patterns of people living in the developed countries. Mr. Chairman, given the paucity of time, let me make a few brief remarks on the priority area, which is the provision of safe drinking water and basic sanitation. At the Rio Plus 20 summit, we agreed on a water agenda, underlining its critical importance for sanitation and integrating the three dimensions of sustainable development. We also reaffirmed our commitments to MDG 7 by halving by 2015 the proportion of people without access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. But as we gear ourselves for an inclusive post-2015 agenda, it is time for us to raise our ambition and make safe drinking water and basic sanitation available not just to 50% of the people, but for one and all, and that really should be our priority. Mr. Chairman, I heard the panelists, and I would like to say that you know, while the issue of peace, security, stability is certainly very important and very important enabler, the priority remains and should remain that of providing safe drinking water and basic sanitation to everyone across the world. Mr. Chairman, let me make a few remarks about my country. With 17% of the world population, we have only 4% of the world's renewable water resources, and we face a huge challenge. We have been pursuing integrated water resources management to deal with issues of water availability, distribution, and conservation. Large parts of our country are also prone to floods and droughts. Integrated river development planning has been a key feature of our efforts. We have undertaken dedicated national missions for cleaning our rivers to enhance their resource value and ecological sustenance. As part of our National Action Plan on Climate Change, we have launched a national water mission, which aims at conserving water, minimizing wastage, ensuring more equitable distribution and management of water resources, and to optimizing water use efficiency by 20%. Our water planning efforts have been enriched by multi-stakeholder participation. Grassroots action involving local communities has given us valuable learning experience, especially in using traditional water conservation methods. Mr. Chairman, water management is also a scientific effort. It involves mapping of water resources, collecting hydrological data, monitoring seasonal variability of water, and assessing the impact of climate change. The lack of adequate trained personnel for scientific planning, utilizing modern techniques and analytical capabilities, incorporating information technology, constrain many developing countries. These imperatives must also be addressed. I thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I notice you presented a bold goal for the water and sanitation sector, and we will follow this issue in the continued deliberations and later on negotiations on the next targets after 2015. I also think that the sustainable use is absolutely crucial, and we probably have to ask ourselves in a world with problems of water scarcity to what degree we can build huge sanitation systems on water. Then we need scientifically new methods, of course. But if you see the availability of water and then look at the system needed for urbanization, for of a big systems of sanitation, you realize that we definitely have to do something to reduce the dependence on water or move into using that the end product will be, in fact, fertilizers. So here is an interesting challenge coming from that statement. We'll move on to Germany, and I really plead with you to keep your comments very, very brief so that we give justice to this interactive discussion. Germany, and then I would like to hear a voice from Latin America, and I would hope that Mexico would be ready after Germany. Germany, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Deputy Secretary General, and many thanks to the panelists for their presentations. I think, Mr. Deputy Secretary General, it's more than fitting that you personally chairing this panel. We are aware of your longstanding commitment in the field of water, which we, over the years, really acknowledged and appreciated. We are all aware of the potential for controversy and conflict over scarce water resources, but we should also highlight the potential of opportunities to cooperate in the field of water, be it with among sectors within a society or between countries globally or within a river basin. In effect, since water is such a vital resource, it often requires cooperation, and we are all called upon to enhance our efforts for cooperation, especially during that International Year of Water Cooperation. Allow me briefly to highlight some of the activities of my own country in the field. We have put a special focus on the link between water, energy, and food through a conference in Bonn 2011 in the Nexus process. And talking about money matters, which is also important, and I do that as the largest bilateral donor in the global water sector, my government spends around $600 million US dollars on programs and projects in this field,
and approximately 50% of Germany's development cooperation funding in this sector is spent on sanitation, a key factor lagging behind in the implementation of the MDGs. We are actively supporting transboundary water cooperation, not only in our own shared rivers. We foster regional water cooperation in Central Africa, the Nile, Mekong basins in Southeast Europe, and help to promote the efforts of UN bodies in that field. Let me come to one of our main priorities, and that's in the field of human rights. Germany has been at the forefront of those countries who have promoted the recognition of the human right to safe drinking water and sanitation, which is essential for life in health and dignity. And the General Assembly has recognized this human right in 2010. So the implementation of this right is one of our most important topics in the foreign policy in the area of human rights. And let me announce to you today that we are working together with our partner Spain towards a resolution on water and sanitation during the next General Assembly in the third committee. The objective of this resolution should be to support the mandate of a special rapporteur of the Human Rights Council, including a mandate to make recommendations for goals beyond the 2015 Millennium Development Goals process. And we will inform partners once Germany and Spain, as main sponsors, will have prepared a first draft of the text. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank the permanent representative of Germany, and I'm grateful he brought in both the nexus between water, energy, and food, but also the human rights perspective, and that you gave a preview of your plans for the General Assembly in the fall of the resolution that you planned with Spain. Thank you very much. We go on now to Mexico, followed by the observer state of Palestine.
Mr. President, muy honorables todos. Para México es un honor que en el marco de este Día Mundial del Agua tengamos la oportunidad de estar en esta reunión. El agua es el tema de más alta prioridad para el gobierno y para la población mexicana, y por ello es que nuestro actual gobierno, a 100 días de haber iniciado con su gran compromiso, señor presidente, ha priorizado en el más alto nivel la gestión del agua. Y como ejemplo de ello, ha creado recientemente programas muy relevantes que van enfocados en primer término a establecer acciones que contrarresten la grave sequía que se vive en la mayor parte del territorio nacional. De igual manera, programas para atender las contingencias hídricas que se llegan a presentar, particularmente por la vulnerabilidad de nuestro país al ser colindante con importantes zonas de fenómenos hidrometeorológicos. Precisamente en el marco de este Día Mundial del Agua, nuestro presidente el día de hoy está firmando acuerdos para efectos de implementar mayores y mejores esquemas de administración del agua en nuestro país. Por ello es que este reconocimiento a la importancia del agua en México que se ha dado en el marco de este día y particularmente del gran reto que tiene nuestro país, en el cual de antemano queremos manifestar que será nuestro país un actor muy participativo en la cooperación internacional con todos los países que están en Naciones Unidas y principalmente con nuestros países vecinos al norte y al sur, con quienes tenemos compromisos transfronterizos que cumplir, así desde luego con la colaboración que tendremos con América Latina y todos los países del mundo. En México, el tema del agua está priorizado fundamentalmente en garantizar el derecho humano al acceso al agua al saneamiento, del cual recientemente se ha incorporado este derecho en la Constitución mexicana para obligar a que el Estado cumpla con esta disposición. Y por ello ha sido necesario iniciar con un importante esquema de transformación legislativa y con implementar nuevos esquemas que permitan que la gestión de los servicios públicos de agua garanticen el acceso al agua y el saneamiento a nuestros habitantes. Desde luego, como ya se ha referido aquí, es de vital importancia que nuestro país se pueda avanzar de mucho mayor importancia en la producción alimentaria a partir de un mejor uso y la gestión hídrica de nuestro país. Desde luego, El gran compromiso que se tiene también es de garantizar la salud pública y la protección del medio ambiente, que es una tarea fundamental y diaria y cotidiana que se tiene en todos los programas gubernamentales y no gubernamentales en nuestro país. México agradece de antemano a las Naciones Unidas la cooperación que ha recibido, agradecerá que esta cooperación se continúe fortaleciendo y tenga la seguridad de igual manera que México será corresponsable con esta cooperación con todos los países de las Naciones Unidas. Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much. I now give the floor to the Observer State of Palestine.
شكراً سيد الرئيس. بدايةً مثل جميع دول العالم والشعوب، فلسطين اليوم تحيي اليوم العالمي للمياه، ونريد هنا أن نؤكد على أهمية العنوان لهذا العام وهو سنة التعاون الدولي. فنحن في فلسطين لدينا نشاط كبير في قطاع المياه والتعاون، ولدينا مجموعة عمل دولية، وأنتهز هذه الفرصة لشكرهم وشكر جميع الدول التي تشارك في هذه المجموعة بما فيها الأمم المتحدة، منظماتها، وكالاتها المتخصصة، وبرامجها التي تعمل بجهد كبير لمساعدتنا في تحسين أداء قطاع المياه، وذلك جنبا إلى جنب وبالتعاون مع سلطة المياه الفلسطينية التي تعكف في هذه الأيام على إعداد استراتيجية خاصة بقطاع المياه، وأنهت مؤخرا إعداد قانون المياه المحدث الفلسطيني. فمن هنا نؤكد على أهمية التعاون، كما أن التعاون الإقليمي هام جدا، ونحن منخرطين في من خلال جامعة الدول العربية والإسكوا في هذا المجال. نحن اليوم سيد رئيس نتحدث عن التحديات، نتحدث عن الأمن الغذائي، الأمن المائي، الفقر، التنمية، كل هذه أمور نحن نشارك بها الإنسانية جمعاء، لكننا للأسف نواجه تحديات إضافية، وهذه التحديات ناتجة بشكل رئيسي عن استمرار الاحتلال الإسرائيلي لفلسطين. الجانب الفلسطيني منذ عدة سنوات قرر أن يدخل في عملية سياسية ومفاوضات، ومن هذا المنطلق تم الاتفاق أيضا على إنشاء لجنة مشتركة فلسطينية إسرائيلية لمتابعة المياه، وهذا كان فيما يسمى اتفاق أوسلو 2، وكانت هناك اتفاقية ولا تزال استخدام الاتفاقية المؤقتة حول المياه عام 95، فهي مرحلية كان يجب أن تنتهي عام 99، وننتقل إلى أمور شراكة وتعاون أكثر جدية، إلا أن التعنت الإسرائيلي وعدم الالتزام في الاستحقاق السياسي في حينه سبب في استمرار هذه اللجنة. أردت أن أذكر مثل هذه اللجنة لكي أقول نحن مدركين أن قطاع المياه لا مفر من التعاون والشراكة، إلا أننا نتفاجأ بأن سلطة الاحتلال تستخدم هذه اللجنة لتكريس احتلالها ليس للتعاون المشترك. فتكريس الاحتلال تمثل في أن الإسرائيليين يحصلون على 85% من المياه الجوفية الفلسطينية. تكريس الاحتلال تمثل أيضا أن إسرائيل تسيطر على معظم الموارد المائية المتجددة في فلسطين، ومؤخرا تستخدم سلطات الاحتلال الإسرائيلية هذه اللجنة الذي يجب أن تقر مشاريع مشتركة فهي تبتز أعضاء اللجنة في الفلسطينيين لإقرار مشاريع في المستوطنات الإسرائيلية المقامة بشكل غير شرعي وغير قانوني في الأرض الفلسطينية المحتلة، وهذا يسبب عائق كبير إلى استكمال هذا التعاون. أردت فقط أن أطرح هذه الإشكاليات أمامكم لأنكم في هذه الجلسة اليوم وبعد الظهر تتكلمون عن التحديات وعن سبل الخروج، فهنا نحن نتمنى منكم كأمم متحدة وجميع الحضور الانخراط بأكثر فاعلية ومحاولة إعطاؤنا بعض الأفكار ربما الخلاقة لكيفية الانتقال إلى مرحلة تخرجنا من هذا المأزق، وشكرا.
Thank you very much. Your statement underlines the potential of conflict from the water use, the water resources, and I would hope that water resources would be a unifying rather than a dividing factor in your area of the world. I won't expand more on that subject. I will now move on, and we are actually soon approaching the moment where I want to give the floor for 2 minute conclusion from the members of the panel. So I have on my list Singapore, China, and I would like to have an NGO in also, Mr. John Klug from Toilet Hackers. So we'll start with Singapore, followed by Mr. Kluge, and then followed by China, and then we will let the... I can tell you who have been so patient and actively engaged, but also those who have not yet produced their interventions, you will be put first on the list in the afternoon for the next panel. I hope you can make it there. I'm very sorry that we didn't have enough time, but we have at least tried to make this as interactive as possible. But it's not over yet. Don't go away. Stay around, and we will listen to Singapore, Mr. Kluge, and then our representative from China. Singapore, please.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. With no natural aquifers or an abundance of land, Singapore understands the importance of water cooperation, and it's a matter of survival for us. As Singapore regards water as a strategic resource, the challenge for us is to ensure water sustainability. In this context, we have implemented a sustained public education campaign to highlight the importance of the responsible use of water. This is a linchpin of a successful and sustainable urban water management system, as the aim is to foster a sense of shared community ownership of water. More importantly, we have invested heavily in research in areas such as desanitation and advanced membrane treatment to enhance the resilience of our water supply against weather conditions. An example is Newater, which is a high-grade reclaimed water that is produced from treated used water that is further purified using advanced membrane technologies and ultraviolet disinfection, making it ultra-clean and safe to drink. Despite our efforts in applying technology and public education to achieve a sustainable water supply, we face constant challenges. For instance, while desalination enhances the resilience of a water supply against weather conditions, it is very energy sensitive. To address this, Singapore has undertaken research efforts to find ways to reduce energy consumption of desalination. We have also recognized that the close nexus between water and sanitation. Our investments in an island-wide waterborne sanitation system have increased our sanitation standards. Today, every Singaporean can drink safely water straight from the tap. However, we note that in a broader context, the need to improve access to safe drinking water has overshadowed the unglamorous drive to improve access to sanitation. For too long, the importance of basic sanitation is not receiving the attention that it deserves. It is thus in this context that Singapore plans to table a resolution on sanitation for all to commemorate World Toilet Day at the 68th session of the UN General Assembly. Its aim is to draw greater global attention to the difficulties that the world is facing in trying to meet the Millennium Development Goals for sanitation. The sanitation crisis is a serious problem. The 2012 WHO UNICEF report noted that 2.6 billion people lack access to improved sanitation and 1.1 billion people practice open defecation. We hope member states will support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now give the floor to Mr. Kluge, and if you can do it in 2 minutes, you will get a special prize from me.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Secretary. I will do my best to honor the 2 minutes out of respect for the members here, as well as the children who we lose every 17 seconds due to diarrheal causes and contaminated water supply. I'm here representing Toilet Hackers, which is an NGO working on innovation, education, and implementation of sanitation services. But I'm also here representing the private sector and as an individual who has benefited my entire life from the power of women. I will first make a point to say that the role of entrepreneurs in the private sector must not be overlooked. The businesses and individuals in this sector play a crucial role in providing ongoing services and regular maintenance in the sanitation sector. The development community must invest more resources into building and tracking private sector capacity and to create jobs. We will work with you, I will personally work with you, to solve this challenge. And for our part, Toilet Hackers and my firm are committed to building a network of 10 million toilets over the next 20 years. We can do this, but we can only do this with the support of government and local communities. On a personal note, I want to tell a brief story. In 1925, a school teacher in Detroit who had modest beginnings took in a young runaway. That boy she sheltered and raised. She educated him, taught him the importance of school, and gave him the value of kindness. He went on to build 200 different businesses over the course of his lifetime, and he became my father. I was adopted in 1983, and the mother that cared for me as over the course of her pregnancy did so very courageously. And the mother that raised me was herself an entrepreneur. Neither of these three women were able to do what they did for the men in their lives without having the basic necessities of life. If the woman that raised me over those 9 months did not have adequate medical attention, if she did not have adequate water, I would not be here today with you. When the world is full of a generation of empowered and educated women, things will change. But as the representative of Finland made a point about, women and girls pay the heaviest price for the lack of sanitation. So let's invest in that, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I heard 10 million toilets. Music to my ears. Thank you very much. Now the representative of China.
谢谢主席先生。 主席先生，首先我代表中国政府对本次对话会的召开表示热烈的祝贺。 2013年是国际水合作年， 各国应加强合作， 分享成功的经验和实用的技术， 同时应对当前世界所面临的水危机， 从而为经济复苏和增长奠定良好的基础。 主席先生， 中国政府高度重视解决水问题。 改革开放30多年来， 中国成功应对了一系列严重涉水自然灾害， 建成了世界上规模最大的江河治理和水资源开发利用工程体系， 解决了3亿多农村人口的饮水安全问题， 提前6年实现联合国水与卫生千年发展目标， 同时着力提高水资源利用效率和效益， 以年均1%的用水低增长 支撑了年均近10%的经济高速增长。 在农业用水保持零增长的情况下， 粮食产量提高了近 78%， 实现了2004年以来的9连增。 中国已占世界 6%的淡水资源和 9%的耕地， 保证了占世界 21%人口的粮食安全、饮水安全和经济发展。 这是巨大的成就， 也是对世界发展与繁荣做出了重大贡献。 主席先生，近年来，中国在水资源领域积极开展国际合作与交流， 在推动中国水利事业又快又好发展的同时，积极将中国成功的好的管理经验和技术设备介绍到非洲、南亚、大洋洲等众多国家和地区，为当地的水资源可持续利用和经济社会可持续发展做出了贡献。主席先生，中方愿就加强国际水资源领域合作提出以下几点倡议。第一，将建设水利基础设施作为保障经济社会可持续发展的首要任务。对于广大发展中国家来说，我们要坚持把建设水利基础设施作为经济发展、消除贫困和保护资源环境的首要任务。通过建设水利基础设施，发展经济，在经济社会发展中求得水资源问题的解决。第二，国际社会应以实际行动为解决发展中国家的水问题提供帮助。当前发展中国家面临的许多水资源问题，不是缺少治水良策，而是缺乏资金和技术能力。国际社会应该切实履行承诺，以实际行动帮助发展中国家解决水资源问题。第三，应充分尊重各国水资源权益和发展权益。各国处于不同的发展阶段，对水资源领域的发展诉求不同，追求的目标各异。因此，在国际规则的制定和合作中，应充分考虑到不同国家的国情和实际条件，平等协商。谢谢主席先生。
Thank you very much. We now come to the stage where I will ask the panelists to briefly comment, and we will do it in the reverse order. I will ask Ushi to come first, and then I will tell the following delegations that they are on the speakers list for the afternoon. It's going to be Slovenia, Turkey, Jordan, Brazil, Japan, Kyrgyzstan. Israel has asked for 1 minute. We'll see whether we have time after the interventions here. Otherwise, also the afternoon will be open. And then Sharon Khan of Waterkeeping Alliance and Anktad for the afternoon. So I'll ask Unshi Aid to start. Thank you very much.
I just want to respond to 4 points. First, the Speaker of South Africa said they want that water should be a standalone MDG. Our board fully agrees with this. We want to secure a holistic water goal in the post-2015 development agenda. What we mean by that, we have written to the high-level panel, and it is also defined in our Hashimoto action plan. Second, thank you to the Speaker of the Nordic countries to mention the UN Convention on the transboundary watercourses. I think this is a very good framework and could be conducive also to the Nexus approach. Of course, we all wait for the rest of the countries to sign it so that it can be put in force. My third comment is, also the speaker from South Africa, you mentioned a very important example for the Nexus, the mining industry and the use of water. During the Bonn conference and afterwards, we have followed your example, and I can just ask that this should be used as exemplary for other countries to deal with their business and water, and to draw, of course, the lessons out of it. The EU made another nexus, gave another nexus example that was water efficiency in agriculture, but I think we should not only concentrate on water efficiency, we should also look into water reuse. For example, use urine as liquid fertilizer, human waste for compost, grey water for irrigation, and sludge for biogas. My last comment is I like to hear that human right for water and sanitation is very important, and of course
years, being a being participant in the Istanbul World Water Forum and having been participating in the gender thematic discussion, I want to remind you all that there in Istanbul, we have presented gender disaggregated data in water and sanitation with six gender indicators. They were presented there, and I think you should not forget this, because you will have 51% against you if you forget that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you, Uschi, for everything you are doing and everything that you will do, not least as Vice Chair of UNSCA, but I also want to pay tribute to you for your driving role for the sanitation year 2008, and of course also for the drive for sanitation, which we now are giving extra momentum from the announcement, as you may have noticed yesterday. So I thank you for that and count on you as an ally in the continued next 1,012 days.
I promise.
Thank you very much. It's a mutual agreement here. Okay, so we will move on to Balaj Medgesi and your comments on the very interesting interventions we've heard here, the 12 of them that we have actually have time to listen to.
Thank you very much, Chair. There is no time to respond on all the very topical and the wealth of interventions we have heard today, so let me focus on three very important 10 points that were made. One is about Switzerland inquiring about the methodology of the Danube strategy as working, and also whether there are some good and bad experiences we can learn about. There are 11 priority areas in the Danube strategy covering the transportation, energy, economic development, and etc. In each of these priority areas, all the 14 countries and the European Union are setting commonly the development agenda and the strategies for the respective priority areas for the macro region. And in terms of cross-cutting issues with water and other issues, all priority areas consult and incorporate the cross-cutting issues to the respective development agenda. Once these strategies are set, these are taken into account into setting the future agendas, these are incorporated into the regional funding system of the European Union. So that is a very important element of the methodology here. Also, about the experiences of these strategies, of course, with the rapidly changing system in terms of the international legal environment, as well as the institutions, and with the growing knowledge we gain from how the river basins work, we identify more and more areas about existing installations that has complex effects on the rivers and the river basins, like ecosystems, drinking water reserves, and navigations. And we have identified issues with the sediment balance of the Danube that has certain pressures on these systems, as well as other pressures. What the Danube region strategy guarantees that these elements are also taken account in the future policies, but also we are doing our best to address the identified issues. And let me add just one aspect of our work. The sufficient answers of yesterday to water-related issues in the river basins are not necessarily sufficient answers for tomorrow because of the climate change and other pressures. So we take these into account when setting future policies. And our German colleague mentioned the Mekong River basin. It is also very important that within the ASEM there is an increasing cooperation with the Mekong River basin or the greater Mekong subregion, as well as other river basins in the world, because with the growing pressures it is important that we are learning from each other and using the innovation. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Dr. Zafar Adil, please, finally.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll contain myself to only two comments. And of course, there's not enough time to respond to all the very interesting interventions. But I do agree very much with the delegate from EU who mentioned that water security is indeed one of the most greatest challenge of our times. At the same time, I do want to elaborate a little bit on how water security is being defined at the moment. And it is a holistic concept, which does include, at the end of the day, the security for an individual. And that means that the individual has to have security to have sufficient water, sanitation resources, hygiene, and at the same time has access to sufficient amount of food, which indeed requires access to adequate quality of water to grow that food. So if you agree with that holistic concept, then that indeed can be used for the kind of unified sustainable development goal that Ushi was just referring to a moment ago. And I do invite all the delegates to look at the UN Water website at unwater.org, where this analytical brief is posted, and it indeed represents the collective thinking of the UN system on the notion of water security. My second comment is about the notion of water stress and water scarcity. And many of the comments have referred to it directly or indirectly. As some of you might remember, last year here at the General Assembly, there was a side event in September where water security was discussed in detail, and that issue of water scarcity was pretty much at the forefront of that dialogue. In order to address water scarcity and water security, capacity development has to be a main way of responding to it. And we think particularly in terms of the increased attention to adaptation to climate change, that should bring in the sufficient resources for addressing water security, scarcity. And in fact, then capacity building initiatives would address the kind of points that were raised by the Indian delegation in terms of responding to the water challenges. So with that, I pass the floor back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you all very much for this very penetrating and interesting and interactive discussion. I just want to make one point. This fits into the work that we have to start now and really mobilize and inject new energy into, and that is the acceleration of the Millennium Development Goals. And the point that I would make is that if we do right on water and sanitation, as we so eloquently hear and so strongly have stated, then we actually speed up the other goals also. If we do water and sanitation right and really mobilize, we achieve an important reduction of child mortality. We achieve improvement on maternal health. We achieve improvement on gender equality. We achieve important on education. We achieve important on fighting extreme poverty. We get an effect also on diseases. All the goals, including the last one, number 8, partnerships, because we need partnerships to mobilize. So in other words, we have allies. Everyone who works for child mortality has an interest in helping of water and sanitation, and vice versa. And you can go all over the field. The MDGs look like they are sectors, silos. Of course, we have to do the job in every silo, but we should also know that there is a tremendous dynamics into the other goals. So keep this in mind, that this is the acceleration of the water and sanitation work will have a very concrete effect on the whole range of MDGs. And we have 1,012 days to go. And if we can prove that we do in these 1,012 days, in spite of the fiscal and economic problems we have, really can make a difference, then here is an area we could really make an investment and by that really achieve this very necessary enhancement of speed of achieving the goals that many of our predecessors signed on to the year 2000. So that's the framework that I would like to give this discussion, and I thank you very, very much for very constructive and good discussion, and look forward to the afternoon session. Unfortunately, I will not be able myself to be here, but I trust that the chair, Dr. Agnete Huber-Li, has listened to my commitment to the speakers now. You are chairing the afternoon session, and it takes place at 3 o'clock in this chamber, and it has the title Water, Climate Change and Disasters, and we'll begin promptly at 3. And the closing segment will begin immediately thereafter at 5:45. I thank you very much and wish you good lunch. Thank you.